want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Oh, my God. Ray, you know, most husbands like cuddling with their wives.
Oh, they don't. Nobody likes that. Nobody. The only time a guy likes cuddling is if he thinks it's going to lead to lower cuddling.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
Welcome to the best of Don and Mike. Good Wednesday afternoon to ye. The best of Don and Mike coming to you on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Artinger, here. And we have a big plate for you today. A big steaming plateful for you today. And I don't want to waste any of your time. So let's get right to it. Al Franken visits Don and Mike on the best of Don and Mike.
Here he comes down. Now we'll be able to do it like we had rehearsed.
All right, and now,
ladies and gentlemen,
right here, big time funny man.
That's right.
Here he is. Al Franken.
Franken on the Zoo.
Yeah. Hi, Al.
Hey, Al.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Who's Don? Who's Mike?
I'm Don. He's Mike.
Oh. How do you do? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hi.
I won't bore you, sir, with, like, what do you think about Bill Clinton and stuff like that. We wanted to talk about your TV show.
Well, you can bore me anytime you like.
Oh, good. That's good. You know, I used to love when you did on Saturday Night Live, when you would be on the news and you'd do that bit where you'd only read news that mattered to you, Al Franken?
Yeah, that I only did that a few times, but it stuck.
Yeah. I like that.
So I will always remember when I see your
That's
face.
That's right.
I will always remember that thing you wore on your
the helmet. The one-man mobile uplink.
That was just a great satellite dish. That was terrific.
Yeah, the character, some people have said the character I'm playing on my sitcom, Late Line.
That's a plug for you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
He stopped in mid-sentence when you hit the bell.
Is sort of a cousin of the one-man mobile uplink guy.
Really?
Well, I play the chief correspondent for Late Line.
Are you tired?
No, I was expecting you to
the
hit
bell.
The bell.
He wanted to. He wants the bell now.
Okay. So my character Al Freundlich is sort of a distant cousin.
What's
of
that
the
name
one...
again? Al Freundlich.
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 Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a distant cousin of the one man mobile uplink.
So you won't be like a Ted Koppel character. You'll be out.
No,
in the
I'll
field.
Be Al Freundlich. I'll be the guy out in the field.
Okay.
Chief correspondent.
What type of stories are you going to be covering on Late Line that we wouldn't see on Nightline?
Oh, no, you'd see the same kind of story.
Same kind of story?
Yeah. Freundlich, my character, is a bit of a policy wonk and likes stories that people he feels should see.
What's a wonk?
A wonk?
A wonk.
A wonk is a nerd who can get dates.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, so...
he made a little face.
Yes, he did. This isn't TV. You know, that'd be a great face if this was TV, but it was kind of like, no, there you go.
Right. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Then why am I smiling? Okay.
Are you smiling?
Oh, there he is. But look at his body language. His body language says, I hate being here.
No, my body language says I'm cold.
Oh, it's very cold in here.
Very cold in here.
Can we get you a jacket or something like that?
Yeah.
A parka? Can we get a poncho for Mr. Franken?
It's just, it's kind of cold in
Would
here.
Would you like to put your feet up? Would you like to relax? You
know? Sure, but...
The whole time when you saw it...
I find this helps me a lot when I just do this.
You think it's about time that you got your own sitcom, being as every other comedian gets one?
I didn't look at it that way. I've always thought I would want to do one at some time, and Paramount came to me with this idea, which was to do a behind-the-scenes look at a show like Nightline. That was literally the idea they came to me with, and...
Do we have a jacket for Mr. Franken?
That's okay. It's okay. I actually...
you know, it was 75 here in Washington today, which is unusually warm, so maybe nobody wore a jacket.
You want a Girl Scout cookie or something?
Like a
do you have those mints?
Yes,
like
we do. Mints? You want
thin
some?
Mints.
I'll have one.
Can Rob feed it to
or
you?
A couple. I love these
things.
Have a
sleeve. Yeah.
I love
sleeve. Have a sleeve. Rob, feed Mr. Frank.
And I'm hungry. So.
Hold on. Please let this chat feed them to you.
Would you let Rob...
sound like a forest fire?
Huh?
Hey, I learned something. My old radio days.
You're coming on now. We get you a couple of coconut shells, you could do the horse thing. Okay, Rob. Please feed it to Mr. Frank.
No, no.
Please let him feed you.
Leave.
Okay. He doesn't want you
away.
To feed him. He didn't want Rob to go near him.
No, yeah. Love your cookies.
Aren't those great thin mints?
They're good. Knock yourself out.
Fantastic. Not really thin, though, are they?
Well, they're thinner than some of the other cookies that you would see in Girl Scout boxes.
What kind of a commitment did you get from NBC for your show?
We have, our commitment now is six shows. We have six in the can and...
Would a beverage interest you? I mean, you have one of the...
Well, you know, with
hey,
the
can we get Mr. Frank in some kind of beverage?
What do you want, milk?
Milk?
Get milk?
Really God, that might
milk.
Be a tough...
Does it matter if it's buttermilk?
Yeah.
Do you like buttermilk? I love buttermilk.
I kind of like buttermilk.
Good man, Al Franken. Right. Good
what's
man.
Wrong with you?
I'm a fan
it's
of buttermilk,
neck
too.
Neck exercise. You drink and you go... Like that. It's good for your neck. Yeah. But that also doesn't translate on radio.
No, it doesn't.
I'm very sorry.
But I enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed it.
And you have a cushy time slot for the show you're on right after Frasier,
right? After
right?
Frasier. Thank you for mentioning that. We're on after Frasier, Late Line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Missed my cue there.
Mm-hmm. Is on. We're at 9:30 on Tuesday, starting next Tuesday.
Do you have a laugh track or a live audience?
Well, I have one.
Well, oh, wow. Hey, look at that milk.
Thank you.
For you. Skim milk.
Wow. Skim milk.
Job,
that's
Rob.
Not so good. But.
Is skim okay? Is that all we had?
Yeah.
Are you a regular 2% or a skim drinker? When you
2%.
2%?
Yeah.
I'm going to predict there's no chance that Al Franken laughs so hard that milk comes out his nose.
Absolutely not.
See? No, no chance.
Much
look
too controlled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you really think Rush Limbaugh's... Oh, he finally laughed. Do you think Rush Limbaugh's really a big fan?
You know, I was going to call... First of all, people ask me why that title. You know, Rush Limbaugh's a big fat idiot. And first of all, he's very fat. He's a huge, fat...
He's fatter than us, right?
He's fat.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to go on record for that just so we can, you know, let our listeners know that he
but
is
he's lost some weight, you know.
Well, he's, isn't he still
it's
fatter?
It's a relative thing, right, Al?
He's still he's fatter lost, than we are, right?
Yeah, and he lost about 75 pounds. I think he should thank me. I think I halted his... Slow slide into food-assisted suicide.
So he was not flattered about your book?
About a month before the book came out, I had my my editor send him a book with a letter that said, Dear Rush, Al thinks it would help sales if you mention the book on your show.
Nothing, right?
No.
Not a thing.
But actually, our show, Late Line, is
a
nonpartisan show, totally nonpartisan. In fact, tomorrow night...
it's no fun if you're nonpartisan. You got to take sides.
No. There's other ways to have fun besides taking sides.
Which side are you on, anyway, in real life, Al Franken?
Well, it's pretty clear which side I'm on.
I know, I just like to hear it, though.
I'm a Democrat.
Democrat, good.
Yeah,
one.
But
good.
I mean, for example, G. Gordon Liddy is in our first show, and he is hardly, you know, he's a criminal, and so he's on the show, and and he's actually coming tomorrow night for we're having a screening at the National Press Club, and we have a lot of people. Dick Gephardt's in the show. He's coming.
Thanks for inviting us.
Type of stuff
right?
We don't get invited.
You're
to.
Invited.
Sure.
Come tomorrow.
I'm sure. You don't want us there, Al.
No, okay. we don't do well.
We come with toilet things. Paper on our shoes and everything.
People don't want us there. That's all there is to it.
You know why it'll be refreshing if to see two guys like you there?
Mm-hmm. If you really...
Because the other people there are going to be really classy guys.
A lot
people.
Of,
there'll be a lot of wonks there. Won't there be a lot of wonks?
There'll be wonks.
Mm-hmm. If
there'll
you
be your policy wonks.
If you really want us, we'll go. Are you inviting us?
Yes, you're invited.
Where would we sit? Next to you?
No.
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 Will we sit close to you?
Probably not.
Would we sit close to anyone of any stature?
Besides Liddy, because we see him every day.
We see Gordon. I mean, we have an office next door to Gordon.
We could arrange for you to meet some important people.
You know what? It might almost be worth it.
It would be fun.
To take Mr. Al Franken up on this.
It would be a lot of fun. We never get to go. Is that Paul?
Yes, Paul.
Is that your boy?
Paul Jandro or...
Hello, Paul.
We're there.
Right, let's talk to him. Come here, Paul. Come up.
Come on up to the microphone because we're very insecure about these things.
Where would you place us? In the room. Are you going to have assigned seating or is it like open seating? Like a Doobie Brothers concert?
What's the,
For you guys, we'd have to assign the seating.
Assign the seating.
Do we have to wear...
seating for... No, we have, it's kind of first, you know, we have senators coming and...
Couldn't you save some seats for us? We have to work till 7. What time is it at?
Oh.
What time is it at?
It the screening is at 7:30 to 8:30. There's a reception at 6:30.
Mm-hmm. Could you hold it a half hour?
Yeah, we could get there for the opening if you held it a half hour. Have you sent the invitations out?
You're so far away.
Yeah, we are. We are.
We could save you a plate of food.
Really?
Thanks.
We have to wear hard shoes?
Cookies.
Really? These are very good Thin Mints.
Would serve you right, Al Franken, if we showed up tomorrow night. We just serve
show
you
up,
right.
Show up. Okay. Oh, we don't start the screening until 7:30.
Wearing shorts.
Here's a clip. Here's a clip from Al Franken's show. Would you like to set this up, Al? This is a clip in which you argue with the producer about a pause. Would you like to set that up?
We're doing a clip on radio?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well...
I have a Johnny Carson thing going here.
Okay, well, this is the opening of the first episode.
Would you please turn the AC back on? Stifling in here.
One thing we learned was... we did a lot of research at Nightline, and one of the fascinating places to me was the edit bay. Mm-hmm. Which they edit the... So I want... My character is very annoying. It's a high-maintenance character. So Megan Price plays my producer, Gail Ingersoll, and we argue over a pause that I want to have.
The funny clip? Please. How would you rate the clip 1 to 10?
Funny, but I don't know how it plays on radio, but let's hear it.
Okay, right. Here it is. Al Franken.
What?
The pause.
Oh, come on. You can't cut the pause. The pause makes a point.
Which is what? That you love your pauses?
Yeah, we need the pause.
Al, we need a pause.
We need that pause.
Al.
Gail.
Ah, they're laughing at you, Al.
All right, Daryl, play it back.
Tobacco. For Otis Toole, lying in a hospital bed, a mere mile from here, tobacco has become a...
I'll tell you something.
Wait,
that's funny. That's funny. A guy...
Keep the pause. Keep the... Jesus Christ.
That's funny, Al.
He was so
that's
excited
funny.
About it, he had to stop the...
Guy, no, wait a minute.
Guy cough? All right, here it is. Back up. Did I screw it up?
You totally screwed it up.
All right, I'll play it again. I'll play it again. I'll play it again.
The whole point is the pause.
What pause?
Well, you the right, pause you didn't play.
All right, we'll
see,
hear
I'm
it again.
The
then.
Tobacco, the guy coughing. I like that. It's funny.
See, if I'm watching, I'll stay with it because I like Al Franken. But if you got a guy coughing up tobacco and juice and stuff, that's must see TV.
The pause
man.
Is between I go tobacco for the McCardle family a way of life, but for Otis Toole lying in a hospital bed 3 miles from here, tobacco is a way of. And then he coughs and coughs and coughs and coughs and coughs, and then I go, death. And that's the pause. And
all right, we'll hear it.
All right, we ruined it.
We don't have to.
There it is now. Let's hear it now.
What?
The pause.
Oh, come on. You can't.
Al Franken, everybody.
Pause makes a point.
Which is what? That you love your pauses?
Yeah, we need the pause.
Al, we need a pause.
We need that pause.
Al.
Gail.
So the
pause. Oh! Are you joking?
The pause part's coming up, right?
Yeah.
He didn't stop it at the last time.
No. Here we go. Okay. I got it now. Here we go. Pause coming up.
All right, Daryl, play it back.
Okay. Tobacco. Don't do anything. For Otis Toole, lying in a hospital bed, a mere mile from here, tobacco has become a way of.
No!
I'm helping you out. See, now I'm making more of a... Al, I'm just kidding. Here.
There it is. Death. Now point.
Okay.
It's a hell of a pause.
You know, timing.
Good job, Al. All right, here's a clip. Here's a clip of... with G. Gordon Liddy.
You are going through those Thin Mints. I got to say, I'm so glad we had those for you.
Well, I was hungry, too.
That's good. Terrific.
All right, here's our friend G. Gordon Liddy arguing with... Oh, you had the real Candace Gingrich on that show?
Yeah.
Okay, here she is.
Pierce, all I'm saying is God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Why don't you go hold your hand over a flame?
Now, you two. Candace, there's nothing wrong with you that the right man couldn't fix.
All right.
They helped with your Fiat, but...
I like the tobacco one.
Were you riding the volume on that?
No.
Oh, okay.
You can see my hand. I didn't touch it, Al.
It kind of was going...
No, listen to it again. Well, here it is right here.
Pierce, all I'm saying is God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Why don't you go hold your hand over a flame?
Now you two.
Hey, did you ever think about getting G. Gordon Liddy to do all of it?
What are you doing?
Well, we played it in its entirety. He was just demonstrating that he wasn't riding the volume.
Did you ever think about asking Mr. Liddy to do all of his lines in German? He speaks German fluently, Al.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, actually, my show is running in Germany already. It's very popular.
Really? How could
that be? They changed the title. It's called Der Narrischer Jude, The Foolish Jew. And it's incredibly popular.
So listen, do you like us?
No.
No. I still like you.
I did for a while.
Did you liked us when we brought the Thin Mints to you?
The cookies, yeah.
I mean, it was an immediate need that we took
care
of.
When did it go downhill? When I stopped your clip?
Yeah.
Well,
when
I was playing it.
Before the pause.
I played your clip, though. That's good PR for you.
As a totally impartial observer, I thought that the stopping of the clip didn't take away from the clip.
Not in the least.
Not on the radio. Maybe on TV you do that, but you know, on the radio...
No, completely screwed it up. Even the second time you did it.
How many cookies do you think you've eaten now? 20?
He's worked on half of the whole
slate. You're going to be as fat as us when you leave here.
I just love these things.
Yeah. So are you excited? You're excited about this show? Are you? I mean, you don't get excited, though, do you? Do you ever
I'm very excited.
Do you ever go, like, high five, give people bear hugs, excited? Like, you know, when something goes well, something goes great... Do you ever
like
do
when
that?
You leave the studio today? When you're done? When you go this the greatest...
Whoa, man, I'm out of here. No, I get very excited. It's hard to, with you guys, get too excited, that's all.
Oh, thanks,
that's nice.
But I'm very excited about the show. I really, you know, we got a review in People magazine that said that we were the funniest new show of the 1997-98 season. I got very excited.
Do you cry when something moves you? No.
Is that the yes?
You do?
Yeah, I cry.
Is that the people with Brolin on the cover?
Yes.
That one. Brolin.
I think so. Is that the one with Brolin on it?
Don't you think it's funny? James Brolin, that's a career move, right? Him and Barbra Streisand? Nobody mentioned the name James Brolin until he started this romance.
He was doing the Amco commercials.
Josh, what was the name of that... Dr. Ramsey, Marcus Ramsey, Marcus Welby.
Marcus Welby.
Well, that was 30 years ago.
I know, he was very good in that.
Nothing.
We think it's a career move.
I don't know. I really, you don't know anything.
Wouldn't you like, would you like another cookie?
I'm going to have one more.
Just one more, Al?
God, these are good.
Can I just watch you eat?
I just love these cookies.
Oh, here's the review right here. Thank you, Charles. And you're wrong.
Who's on the cover?
It's Titanic.
Oh, Titanic. Oh, even better.
Yeah. It's candy to describe this workplace comedy in terms of its ascendance. Say, Larry Sanders meets Murphy Brown. But Lateline, getting a trial run on March 17, stands on its own as the funniest new series. Mm. Well, it's People magazine. now here's a real magazine right here. Newsweek. You got a good review in Newsweek, too?
A good review in Newsweek.
News with a laugh track. Al Franken stars in a send-up of pompous pundits. Here he is right here.
That's good.
Mr. Yeah, Al Franken.
So you're getting great reviews on it, so you must be excited. But this would be it, right? This would be as excited as you get.
No.
Late Line,
I'm with you guys.
Late Line has no big star.
Yes.
Franken is the closest thing to a marquee name. But the rest of the cast is smart, cohesive ensemble.
Wow. Thank you very
much. A light bulb applause for you.
Well, you know, it was clearly I didn't want a show that just was, you know, that was starring me. This is an ensemble show. We have a little saying around the show, a little vowel goes a long way.
All right.
All right, well, that's great. And, you know, they say... Jesus.
Hey.
You say it's
good one, Al.
It's a combination between Larry Sanders and Murphy Brown. Do you feel that's legitimate?
Well, Murphy Brown sucks. I hope it's closer to Larry Sanders.
Larry Sanders. We're big fans of Larry Sanders.
That's a good show.
I would... he was saying it's easy to compare us to our antecedents. We're a sitcom.
Right.
But I wouldn't compare us to Murphy Brown's.
Did I say that word wrong? I bet I said and this.
Ascendance. Right. You actually
ascendance.
Antecedents. But anyway.
Antecedents.
You know,
what does antecedents mean?
Things that preceded you that you were, it's like your ancestors.
Oh, okay. Are you worried that you'll become the next single guy? You know what
no,
I mean?
I'm not worried about that.
Not worried about that? Is your show funnier than Suddenly Susan?
I don't want to characterize Suddenly Susan.
Thank you for appearing before our grand jury. We appreciate that.
Being less funny, I don't recall ever watching Suddenly Susan. So,
are there going to be any more books in your future? Are you writing any more books?
I am writing a new book.
What's that called?
I Hate Don and Mike.
I Hate what?
I Hate Don and Mike. Is that the title of the new book?
Title of your new book.
I Hate Dynamite?
Don and Mike, the hosts of the program, the guys that are talking to you.
No, no. That's a chapter. No, it's... I'm sorry.
It's a chapter he's going to pen on his way back to the hotel.
The tentative title, I'm not sure about it. It's going to be a book about my presidencies. And the tentative title...
It's going to be a book about your presidencies?
My presidency.
Oh, your presidency. Okay.
Yeah.
A Franken presidency.
Yes.
Okay.
So the tentative title is Al Franken Should Be President by Anonymous.
You make a lot of money for those books?
I made a lot of money on the Rush book, yeah.
Did you get paid per the word?
No.
Or per chapter?
No.
Did it hinge on how many books were sold?
Yes.
Oh, it did.
You're
oh,
closer.
All right. Did they give you a big fat, you know, the Big Fat Idiot book? Did they give you a big fat advance for that book?
I got a nice advance for that, but I really made it by virtue of selling
a lot of copies
yeah.
of it. Hard not to sell a book when you do that, when you say, you know, somebody's a big fat idiot. In our day today, that's got to sell a lot of books, I would think.
Well, you know, the title is meant a bit ironically.
Of course.
But he is a big fat idiot.
And it sells books.
Just a lie.
I really should have, I was going to call the book Rush Limbaugh's Big Fat Lying Hypocrite, but I thought that was too confrontational.
But, hey, idiot was something you
But the
that.
Point of it is I was trying to make... Trying to use his own use of it. I feel there's been a loss of civility in discourse in this country and that Russia contributed to it. So I was using his own methods to get back at him.
You're a very smart man, Al Franken.
I know.
Very smart. All right, we'll take our cookies and get out of here now.
Thank you very much, Al Franken. Good luck with Late Line.
Thank you.
I hope it's as good as everybody says it's going to be, and we wish you a lot of luck.
Well,
with that
People
show.
Magazine loves it, Mike.
That's right. They love it.
Yeah, but don't listen to
them. And, you know, take another sleeve of Thin Mints.
No.
Your, yeah. Please, we insist.
With our best wishes.
Well,
give them to your friend.
Give him the box. Give him the box.
Go ahead. Don't give him the whole damn box.
Give him the box.
So he won't write that chapter in his book.
And don't be surprised if you see us tomorrow night at your screen.
I had a very good time here.
You did? Really?
No, you didn't.
No,
you
didn't.
No, he's lying.
All right, come on. We
Thank you very much, Al Franken.
Bye-bye.
Polite golf applause for Al Franken.
Al Franken.
Thanks, Al.
That's a tough nut to crack, man. Al Frank. Oh, bye, Al.
Good luck.
Wow. See you later. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Al Franken, everybody.
Oh.
Al Franken.
Gonna get you a towel.
Mm. Oh, boy. Hey, we worked hard.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk to you about the Las Vegas-style show in Baltimore.
You know, it's almost like Al Franken was not on the show. I expected that we would take some calls, and immediately would be that feedback. Was it a good appearance? Was it a porous appearance?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, Las Vegas-style show.
Yes!
As always, the priority, us.
Yes, us.
What was your question?
Well, I can't get your station and the radio at my work.
You know, I know we could talk about... I frankly am exhausted right now to continue this conversation.
Our Las Vegas-style show is May 14th in Baltimore at Bohagers.
Bohagers, wonderful place. We've been there before. We're coming back again.
Thank you, my friend.
Sounds great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Al Franken receiving oxygen now in our front lobby.
I would have thought that really the sugar rush might have gotten to him, but it didn't happen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Donald Mike.
He sure did eat our cookies, though, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, Thin Mints. That's a little thing to remember for all guests.
Yeah.
Maybe we have just a big plate of cookies in here.
I was teetering with the idea of bringing up Stuart Smalley.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided not to because I thought the interview went well.
Yes, and I think that...
As well as it could go with Al Franken.
That clip...
as many personality disorders.
With the lung butter. You know, the guy smoking. I was laughing, legitimately laughing at that clip.
Mm-hmm. That Stuart Smalley movie... You know, for the longest time, my son, every movie we would take him to, he loved it. No matter what the movie was, he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first movie he exercised his option.
I remember that.
And he said, Mom and Dad, I finally found a movie I don't like. Let's leave. We walked out of it.
Really?
Wow. Stuart Smalley. I didn't tell Al Franken that.
Yeah, that's good.
Hello?
Hey, Dynamite?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it going?
Fine, my friend.
Yeah, I just wanted to... I was listening to you guys interviewing... what's his name?
Yes, right. Al Franken?
Yeah, Al Franken, yeah. Yeah, he didn't seem... I don't know. He didn't seem kind of enthused. You know, enthusiastic about being there or something.
You know, no. I've got to be honest with you.
I think that's his personality, though,
I think
right?
In this life, there are people that get excited and there are people that don't. And, you know, there are
excitable
people. He sure
did wolf down our cookies, though.
Love the cookies.
Oh, yeah, he sure did. He was munching a whole bunch of them there.
He will remember us fondly because of the cookies.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, did you say May 14th in Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay. Why were you kissing Al Franken so bad?
I think he's a funny guy.
You think so?
You don't like Alfred? I genuinely think he's funny. I wouldn't have had him on the show if I didn't think he was funny.
I thought it was good. I thought the clip was good, but it surprised me.
What surprised you?
I was surprised it was funny. I didn't think, you know, I figured it would be a bomb.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, underneath that surly exterior, he's a funny guy, Al Franken.
He's done lots of funny stuff. He really has, and that's why we had him on the show.
I don't think he had his A game going today.
Yeah, I thought it was great. You guys made it, though.
Yeah, we always do. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I'll see you in Baltimore.
Bye-bye. We'll see you there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. How's it going?
Hello, my friend.
All right. Now I talk about Al Franken.
Uh-huh.
I think Al Franken's a nerdy idiot myself. I really don't like him.
Oh, no. That's why such hostility, sir.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I do like Al Franken.
There you go.
I do.
Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh my God. You look
at too bad you didn't call 10 minutes earlier. I could have put you on with Al Franken.
Here's Dennis Murphy with a Dateline Court TV exclusive.
Oh, he's excited.
You know what? Franken sounds like me, don't he?
What? Pardon me?
Al Franken, when he was
Hey, listen, hold on. I need to talk to you for a second. Hold on.
You good?
Yes, hold on. Yeah.
Okay, I'll hold.
Oh, yeah, full arousal.
Like he didn't know it already.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, man, that interview, man, the tension was hard to listen to it.
I thought it was kind of tense. I got a vibe from Al that, you know, did you see him? He kept looking at his publicist like he didn't know if we were really goofing with him or if we
were... You feel that vibration, that vibration? Did you?
Yes, I did.
I think it was good tension. It was good. You know, they're not all going to be... He's not going to come in here and stand on his head and do that. And I think we knew that was going to happen.
He could have given a little more,
though. Of course he could.
You know.
He kind of comes across as kind of a Mr. Know-it-all...
Well, that's
guy.
True. But maybe, you know, I didn't feed him his standard stuff like, hey, what do you think about Bill and Monica, baby?
Yeah, right.
Ooh, Al Franken, let's talk political humor, baby.
No, we didn't do that. Didn't want to do
I thought that he would appreciate that he might find that refreshing.
Absolutely, and we gave him Thin Mints.
Hello, mm-hmm. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
We gave him a whole box. Yes, hello.
Don and Mike, how you doing, guys?
Hey, hello, my friend.
Hey, show's great. Enjoy it down here in Austin, Texas.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say the Al Franken clip was great, but... Boy, does he suck. I mean, He totally brought the show down, don't you think?
Well, you know, that's why I'm getting a little feedback here. Can't be honest. Don't know.
Well,
you know, I thought it was awkward, and there was a time when I would think he really didn't like us, but then he would smile.
Sure, and he's got that captivating smile. Well, he's got a lovely dimple.
All right. Well, Al, if you're listening right now in the car.
Sorry, buddy.
It was great talking to you. And maybe it'll go better at the next radio station you go to.
Certainly hope so.
We got a break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
The Don and Mike Show. Now, even moister, the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Whoops, I forgot about the intro to this song. I should have brought it up to where it jams, man. Anyway, welcome back. It's Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Ardinger, here. Best of Don and Mike coming to you coast to coast on the Westwood One Radio Network. In this segment, free to calls. And I think the guys get into a little riff on Buddy Scott, who was an old station manager of Don's back in the day. It's the Best of Don and Mike.
Absolutely. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, let me talk to Mama, please.
Okay.
All right.
I
just got to give my wife a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, honey.
Yes, Daddy-o.
Hey, those couches and those lamps.
Yeah, the lamps look great, Frida.
Oh, thanks. You know, my first little decorating job.
The lamps. We, for the first time in our office now, instead of having the ugly, I'm sure it kills everything inside, fluorescent lights.
Right.
My wife went out and got some lamps for our office. And the thing that I noticed most is that the couches don't look so bad.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And with the, you know, with the right glass coffee table that I'm going to get over the weekend.
Eggs Daddy Thomas style.
It'll be perfect.
No, and I think you need some pillows on your couch and a little bit of window treatment. It could be lovely in there.
But we're not getting rid of that big Mr. Clean stand-up.
No, even with your 13-year-old boy stuff, you could still have a nice-looking room. I felt like I was working on my son's college room, his college dorm room.
Well, that's a nice compliment. Thank you. Hey, listen,
welcome.
Honey, thanks for the lamps.
You're welcome, sweet pea.
All right, I love you.
Okay,
it does look good. It really, we looked at it, and it makes a difference. You turn off those fluorescents.
Makes the whole room look nice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be, it's the office everybody sees, too, when they come up there. So we're going to have a nice looking office.
Oh, good.
And what a weekend they got. You know, we have the basketball playoffs.
Yes, second round of the playoffs.
Barty's team going for a big win. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be moving some furniture this weekend.
Are you really?
And I don't mean picking my nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moving the furniture. I mean,
rearranging the furniture.
Right. You know, renting a truck and.
Right.
Driving some couches somewhere.
You going to drive a big truck? Is it a big truck that you have?
Big rig, Mike. 18-wheeler.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm not sure. All I know is that I'm really looking forward to it.
If anybody was waiting. If anybody was waiting for a reason to tune in on Monday, I think you just got it.
That's a warning if you're thinking about driving either on Route 95 or Route 50 this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Watch it, because I'm going to be behind the wheel of one of those big-ass trucks trying to move some furniture.
Yeah, you'll feel powerful.
And don't tailgate in one of those. They take longer to stop.
All right. I love you, honey.
Okay, love you.
Thanks for the lamps.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. I want to play you this tape of the disc jockey, Buddy Scott.
Buddy Scott.
Let me tease you with it. This is, let me stop it. This is a guy that was my program director in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Guy knows nothing about radio, man. Guy single-handedly tried to sabotage my career. And as it turns out, now he's working at a competing station
right.
for our show down in the Carolinas.
Okay.
Okay, so here he is.
It's 11 o'clock. This is Buddy Scott with Chicago's Hot Music on V96.
Lame.
He liked the music, didn't he?
Hell yeah.
You're listening to nothing but the hits on V96.
He's real good at doing that and making all those breaks where the disc jockeys couldn't talk. Listen to the way he pants. He sounds like a 400-pound man trying to do a radio show. Listen to this. Here's a jingle.
This is Buddy Scott for Dave Robbins. Chicago weather is going to be sunny and warm. High today, 85. Fair and mild. The low tonight is 62 at O'Hare at 74. Downtown, 68. With Huey Lewis in the news in the heart of rock and roll on B96.
I'm about to have a heart attack. I'm Buddy Scott. On B96.
He doesn't say a damn thing.
Yeah, you can't make fun of it because he's not saying anything.
Buddy Scott for Dave Robbins reminding you that you can win $96 cash. Just for listening to the noon countdown. Today, write down songs number 5, number 3, and number 1.
5.
The noon countdown. Then when we ask you the ninth caller at 591-7296.
Sucks.
Hey, don't forget, you can call in and vote for your favorite song right now. 591-7296. That is my telephone number to get something on the radio. All you gotta do is speed up, give me a call right now. Bruce Springsteen on B96.
You know, is there a more vanilla, got nothing to say, loser disc jockey than little bitty Buddy Scott?
Damn, and you know, so processed, so overproduced, it's very difficult to even hear him.
And that's the kind of radio that Buddy liked. When you would come on after a jingle, and all you would do is read what's on the card.
Right.
Hey, Chicago's hot music.
B96, I'm Buddy Scott.
And you can picture, I was on this station.
Yeah.
I went crazy on the station. I talked before the jingle. I talked after the jingle. I talked all over the record. I talked during the weather jingle. And he used to be on my ass, man. Buddy Scott.
96, Bruce Springsteen. Dancing in the dark. This is Buddy Scott. It's 11:21.
Every time I have... You suck.
Boy, we got another good-looking day out there. Sunny and warm today with a high of 85. Fair and mild tonight, low 62. And O'Hare, 74. Downtown, 68.
Hold on. This is what he hated most when I worked for him. Mm-hmm. the end of the weather jingle, it says, B96,
right.
Music,
mm-hmm.
and then you would hit a record.
Right.
He forbid me to talk.
After the jingle.
Because they said, music.
Right.
What a stupid rule that is.
Yeah.
So here's the B96, music.
B96, music.
So you weren't allowed to talk there.
Don't forget, you can win cash.
Oh,
just
right
for listening
there.
To the Noon Countdown today. Write down songs number 5, number 3, and number 1. Then, we'll get it right in a minute. After you write down songs number 5, 3, and 1 of the Noon Countdown, you be listening. We ask you to call. You be the ninth caller. 591-7296. Repeat them back to us, and you're going to win $96 from B96.
Well, we don't have time for that today. Maybe on Monday. All I know is that all the people that work for him now at the station,
right,
that he works at in South Carolina, they all hate him. Really, the general manager from our station, from WPEK, called
right.
to say, please wait until we're done with ACC basketball
mm-hmm.
to start playing the tapes of Buddy Scott, because so many people from his radio station called to find out if we were going to be busting his balls today.
We're pleasing a lot of people right now.
Yeah, we're making memories with Buddy Scott. Imagine that. Imagine me work. Do you remember the other Buddy Scott rule? The 10-second rule.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime that you talked going into a commercial set,
right.
you were not allowed to talk for more than 10 seconds.
Great radio rule. Yeah, one of those great, brilliant radio rules.
He would call me into his office and he would say, you violated the 10-second rule by 9 times today. Meaning that on one break, I talked for 90 seconds. Going into, he sat there with a goddamn stopwatch.
Oh, God.
You know, and if you talk more than 10 seconds, he got all mad at you. I take caller number 5. Hey, this is Buddy Scott on B96. I'm gasping for air right now. Where's my tab? Buddy Scott on B96. I can't wait for Don to get here so I can touch his balls. I know he does a great show, but I want him to do a bad joke because I'm Buddy Scott on B96.
Buddy Scott.
Oh, man, this is nice. I think it's a
lovely tribute.
You're listening to nothing but the hits on B96.
He was good at setting up those no-talk breaks.
Sister Christian, that's Night Ranger. This is Buddy Scott for Dave Robbins. It's 11:37 on
B96. Here, I'm screwing up the weather jingle again.
Well, it is definitely going to be a very nice day today. Sunny and warm with a high today of 85. Fair and mild tonight. Low tonight, 62. At O'Hare, it's 74.
62.
Town, it's 68.
Sing?
Real tight, too. Really got up to that vocal.
That's why it was disheartening. That's why many times program directors should not go on the air.
Absolutely.
Because you really, first off, you don't have much respect for these guys to begin with. But then when you would hear a guy like Buddy get on the air and try to do an air shift,
mm-hmm.
and of course all the disc jockeys were listening when Buddy
right.
was on the air.
Of course.
And then you have to sit and critique with this guy and he's busting your balls. And meanwhile, here's the type of radio he's capable of.
This is Buddy Scott in for Dave Robbins. Don't forget, call in, vote for your favorite song right now at 591-7296. And then be listening to the Noon Countdown. As a matter of fact, we're going to give somebody 96.
Yeah, baby.
We're listening to the Noon Countdown.
That's right.
Yeah, songs number 5, number 3, and number 1. Then when we ask, be the next caller.
Guys that we've worked for that have done that, it's that same rap. It's that same exact,
that high energy the whole time because they just want to get it in there like that. They don't want to talk to you, and it's the same thing.
Guy doesn't understand, you have a record intro that has like a 20-second intro.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't try to cram all the junk into 5 seconds.
Right.
You know, with Buddy Scott, this is really a perfect break right here. This is what Buddy Scott would really like.
Hey, B96, that's box 20. B96.
See, and the song keeps going.
Right.
The disc jockey could be saying something here, but, you know, in Buddy Scott's world, hey, man, 10-second rule. I hope he doesn't have a heart attack this weekend. I hope he manages to keep his failing heart alive this weekend. So we can continue our tribute to him on Monday.
Absolutely. And you know, I don't even know the guy, and I'm loving every minute of this.
All right, listen, hold on. One more thing. Oh, we're running out of time. Let's welcome Betty and John.
Oh, all right.
Hi, guys.
Newlyweds from Reno.
Way to go, Betty and John.
Hi, guys.
Betty and John, as you know, met on our show.
Right.
Betty sent us a letter. How many years ago was that, Betty?
was in September of 94.
So, yeah, look at that. 4 years ago almost, she sent us a letter that she was lonely, living in Burlington, Iowa, where our show is heard on KCPS. Said she couldn't meet any nice men, sent us a letter and a picture.
That's right.
And we started a Win a Dream Day with Betty contest, and she ended up meeting this guy, John.
And later on, we got John to actually do a little proposal on our air and at our show in Reno.
And you got married. You crazy kids went and got married.
Finally, we eloped.
You finally did it. You eloped. Where did you elope to?
Bandera, Texas.
Bandera.
What made you kids finally decide to get married?
Well, actually, I think it was the fact that as we were driving through Bandera, we saw this bar with the horses tied up in front of it and thought, what better place would there be to get married? The setting is perfect, you know?
Oh, yes, romantic.
Absolutely. Yeah, we agree.
Hey, how old are you kids?
We're both 61.
Oh,
61.
Wow. God bless you guys. We're so happy for you.
I only wish it could have happened on our show, Betty, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I guess it's your life after all.
Well, she saw the horses, not.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, the people in Bandera, Texas are the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Well, listen, Betty, you and John, you know, call us again. We'd like to know what happened, like, on your wedding night and stuff.
Oh, well, use your imagination. It was the perfect wedding night.
Oh, golly. That's terrific.
All right. Hey, best of luck, Betty.
We wanted to say thank you, and we've gotten some calls from people. I'm sorry we were gone earlier today, but we had an eye appointment. But anyhow, we've gotten some calls from some people here in Reno congratulating us, and we want to thank all of them. We're really very, very happy.
Well, best of luck, and God bless you both.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Betty.
Bye-bye.
That's a happy ending, courtesy of our show right there.
Yep, 61 years young. Betty and John, they saw the horses, they had to get married.
Yeah. B96, this is Buddy Scott. I want to say happy wedding to Betty and John. B96. Hey, this is Buddy Scott. My hands have gone numb. B96. Hey, this is Buddy Scott, one step away from the coronary. I'm B96!
Oh, God. How you liking that, buddy?
Don and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show.
Pray for death. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Good Wednesday afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. You know, Don likes to talk about everything in his life. He likes to share it with you on the air, and that's okay. Or is it? Let's find out together on the best of Don and Mike.
Hey, if my wonderful wife is out there listening, call in, because I got a couple things I want to discuss with you. Last night, in our boudoir, man,
Jack, it was incredible. Talking.
This is one of the few days after that I can do some bragging.
She's not there. All right.
She's probably just sitting out, you know, on a park bench somewhere, looking into the sky dreamily and reflecting about last evening.
Well, I also want to ask her. She wants me to ask you this, but I don't want to ask you this because I don't care less. It's nothing about sex.
God,
nothing
what?
About sex.
Is it something that's going to embarrass me?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, what is it?
You know, we're having a party at our house this weekend.
Yes,
and everybody's coming out.
Right.
So we were talking. It was on Friday night after I talked to you about your septic tank, right?
Yes.
And she says to me, "Oh, that's too bad. Mike has a nice house." Have you ever been to Mike's house? And I said, yeah, I've been to his house. She says, have you been to his new house? And I said, yeah. And she said, no, you haven't. I said, don't you remember that night we went out to eat with him and his wife? And she said, no. That's when they were in their rental house.
Right. Mm-hmm. You haven't been to the new house.
Right. And like,
no.
It doesn't bother me. But Frieda said, why is that? Why hasn't he had you over to his house?
I haven't had anybody out to my house.
I know. Well, it's not my query, okay?
No, I haven't. I just,
it's my wife's query.
I was going to have a big party, but
right.
I decided not to. Mm-hmm. That's as easy as it is. I decided I was going to, at the beginning...
I don't feel anything. You should take this up with Frieda.
Yes.
She's the one.
Well, you brought it up, so let me address it.
All right, but then I'm going to have to hear it twice.
All right.
She calls in, too.
Well, maybe you can pass it along to her for me. I was going to have a big party, but I decided I'm not going to
Why?
Do that.
Why?
Because I just don't feel like it. I don't. I am trying to separate my partying from people that I work with for obvious reasons that you know of.
Okay. All
right. See, that's the main main reason that I'm doing that right now.
Oh, okay.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay.
You know, and I was actually planning to have a pretty big party, but I'm going to wait now. I'm going to wait maybe, you know, through the summer. I might maybe in the year 2010.
I said to her, he's never going to have a party. But she said more specifically, how come you've never been there? You know, and no offense to you, Mike. I said,
right.
It's fine with me if I don't go at Mike's house. You know? Like, I don't care if he has hardwood floors or,
right.
You know, what kind of draperies
Your
he has.
Your wife was very curious about the house, and sure. She's been out to the house.
Well, I know she has.
She's seen the house.
Snoopity Snoop Snoop.
But they went out and got together, and she saw the house. And, you know, what... You never know when it's going to happen, but I mean, you know.
Well, listen, I'm not waiting for your invitations. Right. Like I'm looking at the phone every night. Go, please ring Mike and invite me to your house.
We're very excited about coming over to your house. And,
where is she at?
And that's good.
Come on. I got two things to discuss with my wife. Last night, Mike's house.
She'll be. You're very understanding and very nice about it. She might be a little rougher on me, you know, saying why?
Yeah, hello.
Excuse me for having to pick up hormones at the drugstore.
Are you hearing what I'm talking about?
I just got back in the car.
All right, great.
I was just commenting, and I don't know if he told you this, Mike, but he said, "Oh no, I've been to his house," and he didn't even realize that he hadn't been to the new house.
That's what I said. I've been to your rental house.
I think that, you know, that y'all are friends. Most people would be surprised that one good buddy hasn't seen another good buddy's house who's lived there. How long have you lived there? A year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not girls, honey. What did I tell you yesterday? I said, I don't care if I ever see his house. No offense.
But I know you don't care. And I know it's not that big a deal, but obviously it's a bigger deal to you.
No, it is odd, even if you're not a girl, and most buddies would like to show, you've got a beautiful home, would like to show off, you know, the estate.
Not me. No, I don't. I don't want to show off my beautiful home.
Well,
I like living in
it.
But I mean, I really don't. That's not, I mean, I know you might think that, but that's not true.
I just find it odd, but that's y'all's relationship, and if you're happy, that's fine.
I told her it didn't bother me at all.
I don't think it's odd, because I think it's like we hang together a lot.
Yeah.
Like, when we go on the road, we hang together a lot.
But she did count that you've been, like, to my house, like, you know, a gazillion times.
Yeah, but you got to count, you've been in your house a long time, too, you know,
well,
so I mean, it's like...
It's probably an annual event. You know, and since you've lived there a year, I think it's time, but it's not, you know, it's okay with me.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it's okay with you, but it's not your decision to decide who's coming to my house.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
it's not my decision, so it's okay.
And now I'm never having a party.
Yeah, well, were you almost having one before?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, BS.
Yeah.
No, I was. Seriously, I was.
What, like a year ago?
No, I was actually going to have a party. I was going to have a Christmas party. I was planning on having a Christmas party.
What, this coming Christmas?
No, this past Christmas.
Yeah,
how come we didn't? I just didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
I changed my mind. I was actually going to have a staff party, a station party with just people from around the station.
Well, listen, it matters not to me, my friend. You know, I'm sure you got a nice house, but...
It's a nice house.
It's beautiful.
You'll see the house, but you won't probably see it like in a big... party thing. You know, it'll be one of those deals where you come by or something like that.
Well, you brought it up.
So, I mean, if you're going to say, I don't care, I mean, I'm just trying to deal
with it. I'm saying, I don't care.
Right.
And that's what I said to my wife when she said, don't you think it's odd you've never been to his house? And I said, I don't care.
I don't think it's that odd either. I don't think it's that, I just don't think it's that odd.
It's odd, but it doesn't matter. We were just at a restaurant last night and had nothing to talk about. And I hate it when you see married couples that just sit at a restaurant and look at each other. So I was just making trouble.
Well, you succeeded.
Yeah.
And listen, don't take her seriously.
Okay. I know.
She's taking her hormone pills.
You know, I always
She's get all
sensitive.
Over the road.
I always get sensitive about that. It's been a sort of an ongoing thing. And I always get, you know, and I just... You know, I do socialize. I'm not totally antisocial, and I've socialized with you guys, and it's not like when, you know, you say we're having a party that I say I'm not coming or something like that, or like we don't
know,
go out
just,
once in a while. It's just
you never invite me to your house. That's okay. But it doesn't bother me. Really, I swear to God. Let's change the subject.
Been in the house less than a year.
Hey, honey. Hello. I didn't get to ask her about the good stuff from last night.
I'm not an antisocial individual. I'm a very social creature.
You have had a party or parties at your home before. I've been at least one.
You've been to his new house?
No, not the new house, the old house. But the point is, he's not antisocial.
I had Rob over and Cannon over one time over at the other house before I built the new one.
Listen, it's not my deal. It's her.
I know it's her.
Last night. She's right. It was last night at dinner. She says, who's coming to our house to the party?
Your call has been forwarded.
Said, everybody's coming. Hello, honey. I wanted to ask you about last night. I wanted to go over last night. Hey, let's get a big sigh in here.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Jeez.
Right on. My father was, my father-in-law, rather, was saying to me all weekend, right-ho.
Right-ho. Right-ho, old boy.
Right-ho. He normally does not say
Hello?
That. Hey, honey?
Yes, my boo-boo.
I had one last thing I want to discuss with you. It had nothing to do with Mike's house.
Okay.
Last night?
Do you think I get defensive when I people bring that up?
I do. I shouldn't.
But, and you shouldn't because, you know, again, you have a beautiful house. And you have a beautiful family.
Let me. I'd like to address this again, if I may.
Oh, please.
The reason also is I feel weird about when people from the show, because, like, something will happen, and it's not like it happens when you have people that aren't connected with the show over.
What do you mean?
If it happens specifically if you're over,
yeah.
Then you know if something really goes wrong,
then
I really
talk about it.
Yes, and that's always been a great fear of mine, and so that's that's a consideration also.
I wouldn't mention what would you be concerned that I would mention?
Do you remember...
Like if your lawn smells like ass? Well, you said that yourself.
Yeah, you talk about yourself. Stuff.
Well, I can control that. I brought that up, you see, but I'm totally out of control when you're there, you see. I mean, I have no control over it. I can control my own press.
Well, now
see.
I wonder... See, now that makes me wonder what you have at your house. That
what I'm hiding, you mean?
Yeah.
What I'm hiding?
What you've got doing there that you don't want me to talk about.
I don't have anything over there.
Well, you got like a still or something in your garage?
No, I don't have anything. I'm not hiding nothing. I am not hiding nothing.
He's hiding out from the media, which is you, my darling.
Yeah, well, I do hide out there. I mean, it is kind of far away. I mean, it's very, very far away.
Don't have to hide from me.
I don't have to hide from you. I know that, but that's another... What?
I know your feelings weren't hurt before, but they should be now.
Who are you talking to?
Frida, you never...
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Your feelings should be hurt.
Why?
One thing,
Frida, you never talk to me at all when you call in here. You never say anything to me. But then when you stir up trouble like this, I get angry.
Honey, I don't care if I ever see his house.
Yeah, I know. And I know you don't feel like that. That's fine. Except,
you're stirring up trouble.
Except now you know the reason he doesn't invite you.
So what? So he does. So he's worried that I'll talk about it. So what?
If he'll have some catastrophe and he's afraid you can't speak to yourself.
I bought that explanation.
Well, I'm insulted for you.
Why are you insulted?
Because if something really bad happened, like let's say your garage fell in.
Oh, I would talk about that. You bet your ass I would.
Not if he asked you, not if he was crying and asked you not to talk.
He's crying. Oh, I'd love talking about if he's crying.
And you're not really insulted. I know you. You're not really insulted. Well, you are stirring it up.
Well,
I know
what's going to happen?
What?
I'd like to hear what's going to happen.
What's going to happen when?
I mean, I use the garage falling in as an example, but, you know.
Honey, who knows?
I don't know.
It's a control thing more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listen, I'm not bothered by this.
And you're not either. I know you're not.
What if something happens on Sunday at our house? Should I be scared?
No, I'll talk about it. I talk about everything that happens in our life.
I don't decide what we talk about on the show. He does. So if it's at your house, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I feel like coming over to your house now, Frida. Like I'm a big freeloader because you guys never come over to our house. And you're doing this like the week of your party, and now I'm getting a real complex about coming over. It's like, hi, here we are to sponge off you guys, but you've never been. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your wife.
I don't think you're sponging. I don't think she thinks you're sponging off.
No, and if we came to your house, we'd bring our own food and drinks. And then, you know, you wouldn't have to worry. If that's the thing, if you're worried about the...
Hey, what are you doing to him?
Am I got a big kick me sign on my back for you today? What did I do?
No, you get so incredibly defensive of something. Really, we were just making small talk. He told me your house smelled like poop last night at dinner, which is lovely, lovely conversation.
All right.
I was picturing that, and I said, "Oh, you've never seen. He's got such a pretty house." And then
so you're working me a little bit.
And then I said, "I don't care."
Yeah,
right.
We don't care. And if you're worried that you can't trust him when you invite him over, that's I guess.
See, she's right there. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
That she's. Now she's trying to get me going by saying you don't trust me. Well, I don't care if he trusts me or not.
Yeah, all right. Well, then y'all have a happy relationship. That's
right.
Good.
What is the problem, though? Why are you having such a problem?
It's not my relationship. It's not a problem for me. I find it unusual, and I just...
I think he explained it.
I explained it very clearly.
I'm very comfortable with talking about everything that happens to us, and I talk about every place we go.
You know, I'll be honest with you. If Don and you came over to the house, and something happened, and I didn't want him to talk about it, and I went to him and said, I don't want you to talk about it, he wouldn't talk about it.
Of course
not.
Right.
Yeah. I've known that for years. Yeah.
I wouldn't.
That wasn't my point.
Unless it was really good. No, of course I wouldn't.
I mean, we've had that many, many times that's happened.
Hell, so, I got that deal with you, honey.
Well, I know that to
kind
be
of.
So, but that's what it sounded like to me. That
no, well, I mean, when you say that, not trust, it's control. It's not trust.
Yeah, well, then if you don't have control of it, if it's a person you don't trust. I mean, because you think that something
you know what
happen.
This is like, ladies and gentlemen, this is like driving in a car with my wife when you cannot turn it off when she wants to analyze.
I'll analyze it to myself. I'm going to go make dinner now.
And let me explain one more thing to you. One final point that I was saying.
Yeah.
The difference between... Now, am I allowed to do that?
Well, go ahead, protest on.
Go ahead, I'll turn her off.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is that the difference between trust and control is significant because... I could go, there would probably be like 90% of the stuff that if something happened, I might not like it being on the show, but I wouldn't go and ask because I wouldn't do that because I don't think it would be a good thing to do.
So
but
you
if
just
I did,
never asked me to come to your house.
But if I did go to you and say that, I mean, because there's a big difference.
But that'll never happen because you never asked me to your house.
Yeah, it's true. But I will.
Don't do me any favors.
I knew you were going to say that, too. I knew. See, I'm in an absolute no-win situation. And you are delighted.
I don't care. Really, I don't care.
Just bring him a picture so he can see the house.
Honey, I don't care what kind of house he has.
All right, I'll sneak around and take pictures, and then I'll show them to you.
All right, very nice. I love you. See you later.
All right, bye-bye.
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 Jeez. What did I do to her? I never even talked to your wife. I never have anything to do with your wife. Why did she get on me like that?
I don't know.
I
don't know. That's why I said when I said you a half hour ago. It's her deal, not my deal.
Sit over here, mind my own business, and try to behave myself. I say I'm courteous and nice to your wife, and I never say anything bad to your wife. And then, bingo, all of a sudden, she's just, you know.
It's because you don't trust me, that's all. All right, let's do a quick commercial break. Stay there, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chants national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chants. Okay?
Come on, Don. Don't be scared.
Okay. I wrote this song myself. This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. How we love the chancy man. The chancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little toes. And that is why we love the chancy man. The chancy man. Pop, 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 pop.
The Don and Mike Show. World-class dancers. Don and Mike.
That's right, and welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike, coming to you coast to coast on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Artinger here. It's a gloomy Wednesday here in Washington. Hope the weather's better where you're at. And in this segment, Larry King, he gives, and he gives some more on the Best of Don and Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Today Show.
Yeah, with Larry King.
Okay. Matt Lauer. Who, incidentally, is going to be interviewed tonight on Larry King's show. You know, that must be the way that Larry King does it, to ensure that Matt Lauer, who I think at least normally asks tough questions,
makes a fist and actually can do a very tough interview, but Larry saved himself by scheduling that to be on Matt Lauer the same day that Matt Lauer is going to be on his show.
Right, because like every time Matt Lauer was going to ask him something like, hey, Larry, how come you look like such a frog?
Right.
As the sentence was forming, Larry would pipe in, don't forget, you can ask me anything tonight. I'll be turning the tables on you tonight, Matt Lauer.
And immediately, you know, I mean, it's a terrible way to do an interview when you're going to go on the same guy's show that night because you want to be in a situation that's going to be advantageous, so you put Larry.
Larry.
And I was really, you know, I really think that Matt Lauer could have maybe pulled some decent questions like, you know, what's it like to be married to a woman who's, you know, 40 years younger than you are?
What's it like to be married 7 times? What's wrong with your shoulders?
Why do your shoulder blades touch in the back?
Why do Hydrox cookies taste better than Oreos?
How come peanut butter is so much more tasty on a bagel?
How come you like Siegfried and Roy so much? Lay,
when, how come when Steve and Edie are performing, you never move an inch?
How come you never talk about those times you fell asleep during your radio show? Well, he had none of that for him.
Yeah, he didn't. It was a very softball interview.
Oh, and this is now coming off last night. Mm-hmm. I had a double bill of Lay King.
You saw Lay last night.
Last night, Lay had Mike Wallace on his CNN show.
Oh, God.
You are the greatest newsman of all time.
Yeah, that's one of Larry's guys. And Mike Wallace is the kind of guy
who... Oh, he was loving
it. A la Jerry, will drink it all in.
And like Larry said something to him like, your hair. I'm curious about... Your hair.
Oh, you should be talking.
Your hair is so beautiful. And Mike Wallace gave him a total BS answer.
Right.
I think everybody knows Mike Wallace dyes his hair, okay?
Oh, he has to. The man is 150 years old. He's got that jet black hair.
And he says with that voice, well, Larry, I'll tell you what it was. There was a beautiful lady that was by my side for 28 years, and every day she would feed me raisins and nuts. And that's why my hair looks so great.
And Larry's follow-up was, you're the greatest newsman ever.
You know, it was
good question, Mike.
It was like Larry's not responding to the answer. You know, the follow-up question is, really, raisins and nuts keep your hair dark for 80 years?
Yeah, the follow-up is, come on.
Right, no, but Larry was, and he was doing that thing where he's hunching over, and he's got his big chin on his fist, and he's like this, he looks at him and goes, I'm a curious person. I'm naturally curious.
Yeah, that's his,
that's
big,
his big word is curious.
I'm curious. I'm curious about the future. That's why I wrote the book. And then they get laughing. And hey, last night, did he have the hard shoes on with the half boot?
You know, they only show him from the waist up on CNN.
I bet Mike Wallace wears those kind of shoes, too. That's an old man's shoe. That's the old man's shoe look that they probably both were wearing.
So listen, he's on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to sell a book. Larry has written a book about the future. Can you think of anything more asinine?
Larry King's future. The cover of the book is a pond with lily pads covered with frogs.
So, Matt Lauer says, what's the book about, Larry King? And listen, here's what Larry says. And I was watching this thinking, I hope they're running tape on this.
Right.
Because it's going to be one of those ridiculous tapes that they'll be able to play back 20 years from now to show how stupid people are thinking what's going to happen in the future.
The future is incredible.
Yeah. Larry says, I want to tell you, the year 2015. And he sets it up real like dramatic. 2015.
Right.
You go to the doctor. You sit in the office. You give them some blood. You wait a couple of minutes. They come out. They tell you everything you're going to get for the rest of your life. And they're even going to tell you when you're going to die. 15 years from now.
It's incredible.
I'm telling you, you're 2050. Now, Matt Lauer is like buying into this. And he goes,
sure, not realizing Larry is one of the great, you know, yarn spinners of the world.
So Matt Lauer goes, really, Larry? They'll just be able to take your blood
right
and tell you how long you're going to live. And then Matt Lauer says, well, that would really help me if I was going to be 78 or so. I guess I would really work harder my last couple of years alive.
Yeah, when the follow-up question should have legitimately been, oh, come on, Larry, yeah, and you're Sandy Koufax's best friend, too.
Right, someone's got to get that tape and put it in a time capsule. And in the year 2015, when everything is virtually like it is now.
Right, exactly.
I mean, how much of things going to change in the next 15 years? We'll be able to play the tape that Larry King said. You could go to the doctor, he would take a vial of your blood, they would be able to tell you every sickness and disease you're going to get for the rest of your life, and they will tell you what will kill you and when it will kill you.
I think the only thing that's going to change in the next 15 years is Larry won't be going to the doctor.
All right, what about him talking about TVs?
Oh, he said, yeah. He points at the TV and he says, listen, here's what's going to happen. In 2015, everything, you're going to be able to do everything through that box. You'll be able to call the grocery store and say, send over the same order that I ordered last time.
Week. Yeah, last week.
Like, you can't get a grocery store to deliver nowadays, you know?
You can buy stuff online now. It's nothing amazing.
And it was a little peek inside of Larry, though, the things that would excite him, you know?
Right.
Like pressing a button and said, send over the same order, the same Hydrox cookie order that I ordered last time.
So you wouldn't have to leave your house. You would never have to leave your house. You learn something on every page of this book.
You see, Matt, here's what I am. I'm very curious.
And he said that this morning, too, that he's a curious person.
I'm a curious guy, and in 2015, I just really want to have my lovely wife, Sean King, hanging around the house while I stay in my bathrobe and don't bathe.
Think about that.
And I wear my hard shoes, man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Bobby.
How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Great. This is Darren Howard from Sioux City, Iowa.
Right on.
Got a question for you.
Yeah.
I followed your lead and went out and bought a Euro sealer.
No. You're so wrong. That's not my lead.
Your wife bought that, right?
My wife bought it.
No, I mean, no, I'm talking to Don.
Yeah, my wife bought it.
My wife bought it as well.
You have one, Buzz?
No, not yet.
All right.
Do you, Mike?
No, I don't have one. I never... didn't your wife say it didn't work?
No, my wife loves it.
Oh, she does.
She never uses it.
Yeah, we didn't buy the power adapter. We just got the batteries. Once the batteries went dead, it went in the junk drawer. Yeah.
It's a battery operator? I thought it was like a little... It didn't need a battery. I thought it's this little hand device that you...
No, it's the... It like seals the baggie. All again, right. After you open a bag up.
Mm-hmm.
And why they call it Euro Sealer, I don't know. That's supposed to make you feel good because you think it's a product like that they use in Europe?
Bingo.
It has hair on it. Bonjour, all through...
What?
I just wanted to call. You said that you were thinking that it was going to end up in your junk drawer, too. And I was wondering if it lasted for you.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's in the junk drawer.
Wife never uses it.
Right.
Amen. Mine too.
All that junk from TV that looks good. We got the Magna dusters.
Yeah. Yeah, do those don't work either?
No, they are just like regular dusters.
I remember when I bought the power antenna. Remember the antenna that you actually stick into the light socket? And then
the ad said, use your entire house as a conductor. Get great TV reception.
So I plugged it in, and it's worse reception than I got before with the regular rabbit ears. And we destroyed that one on the air. We actually you destroyed it with a hammer, which was a lot of fun.
You've destroyed a lot of products like that on the air that you bought and you weren't satisfied with.
I'm trying to think. There have been many, many TV products that I have purchased, and none of them, to my knowledge, are being used currently in the house.
I know something that you bought that you're absolutely loving.
What's that?
Your day planner.
Yeah. I bought a new one.
Why?
I bought a new one. It's in my car. I bought a smaller one that I keep in the car with me right now, and I'm waiting because it starts in July. And so I all the June stuff that I had. I actually do have a planner now, but it's the one that I had, the leather bound one, ran out of months, and I didn't replace the paper in it.
Did you draw a big X for the Caps game tomorrow night?
Yes. And I said, we'll give. I thought you were going to stop.
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry after the fact. Sorry.
So that's against the rules.
All right, no mas. You're sorry.
You broke the rules, man.
Sorry.
No, it ran out of. I was sitting there and I said, hey, there's my planner, and I had like three different things happening, and we were going to Lafayette, Louisiana, and there was a lot of stuff, and it got to be almost to a point where usually I like to keep it up in the old ticker, and I got out the day planner.
Keeping and everything.
And I got out my day planner, and it was like February of 1997.
Wow.
February of 97 was the last month in there, and I'm like, what do I do? And I, for a minute there, I thought I'd line out the sevens and turn them into eights and reuse it, but of course...
Days don't match up.
Days are all different.
Right, hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, yes. Why don't you talk about World Cup soccer?
Because soccer sucks.
Oh, please.
Yeah, soccer does suck. Soccer sucks.
Listen, no, I feel our ratings going down when we talk about soccer. We have something called, in this country, called football, but it's not F-U-T like you...
B-O-L.
Yeah, like you freaking Europe people, right? You Europeans. You people from Europe. It's F-O-O-T, foot, B-A-L-L, ball.
With hitting.
And men wearing big pads.
Gridiron.
Hello?
Done.
Cool stuff. Yes, hi.
Hey, I got a good home product that actually works.
What?
It's that home painting system, that paint stick thing.
The paint stick?
Oh, Mike, that paint stick thing.
In my garage.
Yeah,
brand new, unopened, in my garage, purchased by my wife at a store. And you know how I knew? Because it has one of the little, on the
as
corner.
Seen on TV.
That's exactly what it says on the package.
You know, they got there's a mall now that has an As Seen on TV store.
With all the ads where you can go in and get them for 50% markup.
That's where my wife bought, like, the Euro Sealer and stuff. She came home and said, it's the greatest store, everything from television.
Did your wife ever get a paint stick? Didn't she have a paint stick?
Yeah, I think so.
And she said she liked it, right?
No, I don't think my wife's gotten anything as seen on TV that has lived up to the hype. Hello?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, is there any way we can get that chubby ex-producer of yours to quit cackling in the background?
No.
It's kind of like a rip-off the Ima show, you know, and it just doesn't work for you.
Right, that's a total rip-off to have someone in the studio laughing. Yeah, Ima's invented that. Right.
Yeah, Imus has the patent on that. Because
right.
It certainly wasn't an original idea.
Shut the door.
We wouldn't have any ideas on this show if we didn't have Don Imus.
And we'll turn down your radio first. You big dummy. You big dummy. And second, who are you to think that you could call up with something like that and I'll go, yeah, hey, great suggestion. Rob, leave the room. Are you kidding? Come on, forget about it. You think you got way too much power with the radio. If you don't like something we're doing or a bit that we're doing, turn the station. It won't break my heart.
Have we made ourselves clear?
You know, and furthermore, we had some call us last week, and he said something like, well, you guys are like athletes, and I'm like paying your salary. No. That's not how it is. Radio is much more immediate than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you don't like what we're doing, change the station. And eventually, we won't have ratings.
That is the source of your power, though. That really is. That is the ultimate source of the listener's power is right there. The button, the dial, the volume control, all of that.
I like having Rob in here. Rob's a funny guy.
He is.
And he adds some atmosphere to the room. So F you and F your family.
Now let's have a good game tonight.
Talk about the game.
All right. Bye-bye.
See that, Rob? I stand up for you.
Thank you, Don.
Lazy son of a bitch. I'll say that. That doesn't translate on the radio, but he is one lazy guy, Rob Spiewak.
But he's a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love having him around. I know you do too.
So do I. I would say yesterday. Wouldn't yesterday count as one of the shows where there were two shows going on? There was one show that you heard.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was one show going on in here. We have a lot of those great shows.
And someday we will live in a society so free of taboos and government restrictions that we'll be able to bring you the entire uncensored Don and Mike show.
Yes, that'll be a special broadcast.
That's the breakthrough. Right there. That's what separates us from all the other idiot disc jockeys like Imus.
Oh, that's for sure.
Imus.
Oh, really?
Imus. Nice cowboy hat. Nice fake hair. Nice ratings. Nice TV show. I love watching you eat sunflower seeds.
With your big Hoss 10-gallon hat.
Hey, Jed Clampett. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Don Imus trying to look hip with his cowboy hat.
There, my big belt buckle.
Plus, his show is so boring. You know what it is? It's all those people like from boring shows like Meet the Press.
Yeah.
And because guys like, what's that host's name? Tim Russert. Tim Russert. Because who would want to book Tim Russert as a guest on a show where you wanted to have some fun, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a line of radio stations waiting to interview Tim Russert. As it turns out, there's one. It's Imus, because it's a boring political show. And that's how he gets all these great Washington guests. Because nobody else wants them. Listen, I get out there. I listen to these shows, okay? I'm a radio guy.
Yeah.
I love listening to the radio. I listen to everybody on the radio. And I'll tell you, there's nothing redeeming to Imus in the morning.
Here. Bully.
Old, boring guys.
Bully.
And Kenneth Starr.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine when it's fresh, when it's today's headlines, but then on and on and on and on.
What a bore. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Great, thank you.
Let's play the name game.
Don't you listen to the disclaimer, sir?
I don't give a rat's ass. I'm going to play.
Oh, listen.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Rules is rules and parts is parts.
Parts is rules, my ass.
I'm a name king. I want to play.
The name king. Are you the name king from the United Kingdom?
And I like it boiled.
Boiled meat.
Boiled meat. Well, you know, I normally frown on having foreigners in this country unless they pledge their allegiance to the United States of America.
I know, but I admit I'm illegal and I like to be here.
All right.
Who is this, Wingo?
I am Ringo.
I'm Henry the Eighth. I am,
and I like everything boiled, including my wives.
All right, just one though.
All right,
Mike and I will team up to chop you.
All right,
to chop you the way that you British people should chop your food up before you swallow it.
We boiled it.
Then you wouldn't have such big hunks of like raw food in your teeth.
That causes total decay, causing the outer shell of the tooth to get all brown and discolored.
Let's have a moment of silence for the Spice Girls, please.
Ginger Spice.
She was my mum.
Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz, give us a name, please.
Let's try Ricky.
Ricky Lake.
Ricky Ricardo.
Ricky, Lime Ricky.
Pardon me?
A Lime Ricky.
You mean like the drink?
Yep.
You're so British, man.
Hello. Could I have a Lime Ricky with me boiled potato?
Ricky Nelson?
Ricky Henderson.
Ricky.
Ricky. No. Oh.
Hey, you're doing your country proud right now. This is exactly what's wrong with Britain.
Oh, bloody hell.
This is Britain right here.
Rick James.
That's right. No, we're not playing the Rick game. It's the Ricky game.
Ricky James, then.
No.
His friends called him Ricky, Danny.
No, you're out.
No. Oh, bloody hell.
All right. Oh, Ricky. Oh, no, that's Mickey. Oh, yeah. Mickey, you're so fine. Ricky.
You're out.
No, I'm not. I get another guess. Ricky Irvins.
Ricky, don't lose this number.
Ricky, don't lose that number.
We'll call
that number. I give it to you.
Okay.
Ricky.
Ricky Tiki Tavi.
Can I have Ricky Retardo?
Well.
All right, I will take it.
You can take Ricky Retardo, and then I will have Ricky Sports Junkie Ricky.
Oh, all right. Then I'll have Ricky. Ricky. Damn, there's got to be another Ricky out there. Ricky. Damn, Ricky.
Hmm.
I'm counting down to a meltdown here. Ricky. My name is Ricky. Mike?
Ricky Sanders.
Ooh.
King of the Rickies.
I wish...
Way to go, Mike.
Well, thank you.
Shut up. I killed you.
I wish I could say that lifts me up, but I'm on the road to recovery.
Hmm. Way to go.
King of the Rickies. Yeah. Besides, you got nothing to hang your head high about.
That's right.
You only had, like, two Rickies.
That's why we kicked your butt, Mr. Boiled Meat.
Yes, you did, but you know what? In Britain, we don't play games like that because we're too busy boiling things.
Right. You seem to know our feelings on Britain.
He did.
He did indeed.
Nice little country that pretends that they're America sometimes. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I got a Ricky for you guys.
Nope. Again, all these rule breakers now. See, that's what happens. Like, you let one guy through.
That's right. Just like we always used to hate it when somebody, if I do it for you, I'll have to do it for everybody.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Soccer is such a better game than anything you have in America.
Right. Okay, I get it. You're being cynical. I got it.
Okay.
All right, I'm hip with that.
And the worst thing about soccer, and I think maybe when they get into the later rounds, but they have ties, and they let the ties just stand, and that sucks worse than anything.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Are we open for the DJ contest?
Oh, my goodness. Come on. I know you're saying that just to be funny. That's an old bit.
That's two rules broken in one call.
Wow. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I want to call you two hooligans out on the name game there. You know, you guys are always... stumbling and bumbling there for 30 seconds, and then, you know, the contestant, you don't give him the time of day.
Oh, we gave that guy a lot of time.
He had 5 seconds, probably.
Hey, you don't like the rules?
Come on.
Tough ass.
What?
Tough toenails, rather. Let me clean that up for the air. Tough toenails.
Who's making the rules here?
Toenails.
I am.
Toenails ends with S.
Oh, boy.
I'm making the rules.
Okay, well, you know.
Give the line from Get Shorty.
You give the guy 30 seconds from Britain, he comes through, I'm telling you.
I'm the guy telling you how it is.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the guy. I'm the guy telling you the way it is.
Yeah.
Look at me. No. Harry, look at me.
Hello, bloke.
You know what you are? You're an entry in my book. I'm looking at you like...
Are you talking to me?
I don't care about... What movie are you doing, sir? We're here doing Get Shorty.
I'm sorry. I skipped one.
No.
I'm telling you how it is.
Yeah, John Travolta, Get Shorty.
Hey, classic movie. We quote it all the time on this show.
Okay.
Incessantly on this show.
I expect next time you give the guy a little bit more slack there. You know, just give him a chance.
Oh, yeah. Since when do people get a fair shot on this show?
Never. Come
on.
That's what I love about it.
What show do you think you're listening to?
Don and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Take the boy, and not me. I'm too young to die. Oh, the pain.
The Don and Mike Show.
They are the Dean's Peanuts, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. Artinger here.
Ooh,
if you could buy a Lost in Space robot, would you? I couldn't do it. Ooh, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Yesterday we received a call about, some guy called and said, did you see the article in the magazine that had the ad where you can buy a Lost in Space robot?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, well, somebody mailed that in to us today.
Full size, right?
And here's the ad. Listen to that. We got a call just to see how many idiot guys have ordered this.
Yeah.
It says, your childhood friend comes home. For the first time, you can own an authentic Lost in Space robot.
Unbelievable what they sell these days.
And here's a picture of a guy wearing a laboratory coat. Look at it.
It's, you know, and for all of us that grew up watching that show, though, you know, you see the ad, and the first reaction you get is, hey, it really is the size of the robot.
Well, now, it's not the real robot.
Right.
Okay, what it says is full-size replica from the classic TV series.
You know it's cheap when the word replica is used.
Fully illuminated electronics, which means all these, like, 1960s-style computer lights, they all light up. They're like Christmas lights.
And you know how expensive that is to make.
Mm. Edition size of only 250. So they've only got 250 of these babies.
Wow. Yeah, for collectors.
Special price, $7,999.
Unbelievable. You know, do they mention if the arms work? Because that's the big deal.
Let's see. It's cast from the original robot used in the making of the series. Constructed of fiberglass, original voiced with synchronized neon.
Uh-huh.
He also plays CDs.
Wow.
So they told me that the robot's arms didn't work, so I said, F you. Signed, endorsed, and authenticated by New Line Cinema. Now, it doesn't sound like you could climb into it and make the arms move.
You know, the whole thing about that robot is warning, warning, with those arms going up and down.
And I guess that you could probably press the button and it would say, warning, warning, danger, Will Robinson. But for $8,000?
I mean, it's basically a lamp with wheels. It's a lamp. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. An expensive lamp.
$7,000 lamp.
You know, not since we've had that guy on the show that was trying to sell his riding lawnmower.
Right. I still get people talking to me about that. You mean the Green Bay Packers lawnmower?
Right. The guy wanted like $30,000 for a riding lawnmower because the Green Bay Packers had signed that. We called him and he couldn't believe that we'd be calling to give him a hard time about that.
I am astonished by how many people still remember when we did that. People say things like, did that guy really want $36,000 for his lawnmower?
And you remember what really made him mad when we would do this? He said the sound effect of laughing over and over. Hello?
Oh.
Here we go. Calling now. Calling Wellington, it's in Buzz Burbank, California.
Oops. We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
All right. Obviously.
$7,000, and it really... Mm. $8,000, really.
Yeah,
eight
really.
Grand. It should be able to at least do some things for you.
I don't see any way that that can happen.
Hi, Cons. Can I help you?
Yeah, hey, buddy. Hi, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show right now.
How are you, Will Robinson?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're calling to see how many guys, and I guess it could be all guys, have spent
eight... How many what?
How many guys... have spent $8,000 to buy the Lost in Space robot.
Hold on one second.
Thank you.
She might be suspicious of us.
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't like their tone. I think they're going to give us a hard time.
And to answer your question, I do not believe, looking at this now, and I think I know what you're saying when you asked if it did anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it should for that kind of money. There should be more electronics in it.
Sure, Williams in sales, can I help you?
Yes, hello, this is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing?
We're doing great. We're calling to see how many dumbasses called up to spend $8,000 to buy the Lost in Space robots.
Is the robot selling?
The robot is selling great.
Really? You are kidding.
I can tell you.
Yeah, if you could give us a number sold, that would be great.
Well, this is a combination of paid and stolen payment plans, but we sold 140 out of the
250. Oh, my God. Imagine a payment plan. Someone is financing that. Like they finance a house or a car.
So it sounds like you're selling them like hotcakes.
We are selling them like hotcakes.
Wow.
The edition size will sell out. At the rate we're going, we'll probably be sold out by, I'd say, July.
Well, as I was mentioning before, isn't the thing basically just a lamp?
No, it's a little bit more than that because it's made out of injection molded, fiberglass, resin, there's plexi bubble, there's electronic lights, there's a CD player built into it. The lights are in sync with the voice chip there.
Right, now we've seen that.
Dick Tufeld.
All right, now I'll tell you where we're coming from price-wise. We're looking at this thing and we're thinking, well, a CD player. All right, I'll give you a couple $100 for that. The electronic lights you're talking about, it's like the 1960s computer lighting, which is nothing better than like Light Bright or like Christmas lights. So I'll give you maybe $300 for the lights, and I'm being very generous there.
But that price can go up quite a bit if the arms move. Do the arms move?
Well, the arms are extendable in and out. Remember, the antenna rotate on this thing as well. The torso is movable. It runs on AC current.
And as far as having the voice chip, you know, you can buy a greeting card that you open up that says something to you.
except for one thing that these greeting cards don't have, and I should mention it to you. This is limited to 250. It's full size. It's a 1-to-1 scale replica, and it's
designed
by the three principals involved with production: Bob May, the original actor who wore the Lost in Space robot.
I like this
Dick Neufeld, who was the voice of the robot, and Bob Kinoshita, who is the designer of not only that robot but also Robbie from Forbidden Planet.
You, sir, are unflappable, and I have to give you a round of applause for that.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Unfazed by our onslaught here.
But listen, seriously, at the end of the day, you guys must just sit back, kick your heels up, light a cigar, have a beer, and thank God that there are so many dumbasses in the world. Right?
You know, actually, there are so many Lost in Space fans out there, and personally, having run
dumbasses.
The sales division, I've been in contact with at least 4,000.
Wow.
I'm going to a convention in Oklahoma next week. I'm going to be in Boston next month, also Chicago for the Wizard World Comic Convention.
Are you bringing the robot with
you? Bringing the robot to Boston for the Visions Convention.
Do you sell them a lot of them at the conventions?
Well, we were in New Jersey, back in April, and I sold about 8. We brought the robot there. And
oh, my God. You sold 8 of them. Hold on. Let me do the... Wait. Let me... You sold $64,000 worth of Lost in Space robots in one evening?
Actually, it was a 3-day weekend.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen, I know you're not going to tell me this, but the point I was trying to get to is, it looks to me like maybe I'm going to be very generous. Thing maybe cost you $700 or $800 to put together.
You're being
not
very.
Not at all. If you want to be honest with it, with all the materials, the parts, the fiberglassing that's involved, this is a very solid piece. The actual cost of the robot is running close to $4,500. $4,500 to $5,000.
No, you're
so
not telling.
This is a big markup item, and when you factor in labor,
get out of town.
Taxes and what have you. It's all the labor of love we're doing.
He's the best. This is the best salesman I have heard in a long time.
He's a good sales guy. If a sales guy tells you that it costs like, what did they cost? Like $5,000?
Yeah, he said four and a half.
You can bet it really costs one-fourth of that.
I'll tell you this, that we have quite a few celebrities who have bought this thing. Many actors, people, sports figures.
Right, celebrities, people with so much money. They don't know what to do with. Like, I'd be curious to know, who are some of these celebrities who purchased? Can you tell us? Anybody really famous?
I could tell you, but I shouldn't really, because I don't know where this is going out to, and I don't want to come
back. It's going out all over America.
So this is a national show. We're in over 50 markets. We have 4 million listeners, and because you're being nice, I'll give you a plug at the end where you can give your phone number if any of our dumbass listeners want to buy one of these things.
So you can't tell us even...
I see you have a lot of respect for your clientele, though.
No, I know my audience.
So could you share with us maybe one showbiz luminary who has purchased the robot?
Showbiz luminary? What you mean by like a movie star or something?
Well, you said some famous people have bought them.
Well, I don't know if it'd be famous in your market. It wouldn't be famous to the general public, but people who have been professionals in the business and celebrities who have...
Oh, give us one, even if it's like someone who's lame, like Ronnie Schell.
He bought one, didn't he? It was Ronnie Schell, wasn't it?
I confirmed that. I don't even know who Ronnie Schell is.
Yeah, there you go. I think you've crystallized it.
He was a bid player on Gomer Pyle, USMC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I banished that from my memory. So,
who would be the most likely celebrity to buy one of these robots? I'm trying to think. Who would you think would be
the
list?
I bet there's an athlete like Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure if he found out about it, or Jerry Seinfeld found out about it, they probably would buy one.
Did Michael Jackson?
Superman collector, so I'm sure this would be right up his alley, too.
Did Michael Jackson buy one?
Not yet, but we're waiting to hear from him.
Jerry Seinfeld is probably perfect, right?
Billy Mumy?
Well, Bill Mumy does signature edition Lost in Space pistols for us. So he's actually part of our family, so many of the other people from Lost in Space.
How much do the pistols go for?
$399 retail.
$399.
Do they shoot real lasers?
It has a simulated laser on the end, yes.
You mean it has a little... You mean it has a...
If you were going to buy the original prop at an auction, you would be charged probably close to $25,000 for that. If you're going to buy the robot, which you couldn't because it doesn't exist except for the original one, which is starting to deteriorate, it could go for as much as $250,000. So this is as close to get for someone to get one of these things.
I got it. You're like the Price Club of this business. I got you. You're like the Walmart. I understand.
Look at this. It's limited to 250.
Right.
We're going to sell out real fast.
Yeah.
And after that, the price will be well over $12,000. So for most people, this is considered an investment.
Yeah. They're going to sell 250, and then they're all going to go buy some island in the Bahamas together.
I'll tell you one thing. Our sales manager wants to talk to you. He wants to hire you immediately.
Sounds good.
Well, we're in D.C.
D.C., huh?
Frankly, we are amazed that you sold one of these things, but I'll give you a plug for $7,999. What is your phone number?
Our phone number here is 818 982 6175.
And how many do you have left for all those people Don mentioned that might want to call an order?
Well, not counting any recent mail-ins that I haven't received, we have about 100 left.
Down to their last 100 now.
100 robots just sitting in the factory waiting to decorate your living room.
Oh, my God. That means they're going to make $800,000 on those. Oh, my God. Oh!
The station you guys are calling from?
God! $800,000 for selling crappy robots.
Hey, good work if you can get it, right?
It's amazing.
What are the call letters for your station?
We're on, like I said, we're on over 50 stations.
Oh, okay, so.
We're on the Westwood One Radio Network, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Don and Mike, okay.
All right,
thank you.
And good luck with your robot. Thanks for answering all our questions.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. That was a good salesman. You got to hand it to him.
Where's this music coming from?
And the robot is making his way to the platform.
Hold on, that's my mistake. I see. They have... See, the Olympic fanfare is right after Lost in Space on the CD.
You know, for my money, I never think the Olympic fanfare is inappropriate for any type of radio. Mm-hmm. I think it just flows naturally. All right, welcome to Date That Robot.
And it says this is Tom Jones, but this was just a theme, right?
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. I love that song, too.
Here's another one.
That and the Olympic theme. I mean, yeah, put that on a continuous loop. I'll play it in my car.
This is a theme to laugh him. It sounds like one of those shows should be a Quinn Martin production.
Yeah, right.
With Barnaby Jones.
And his rooster neck.
Oh, hold on a second. Here's a guy who bought a Darth Vader.
Oh, cool.
From the same company. Hello, welcome to the show, Mr. Jackass. I mean,
Simpson,
trusted listener.
Well, I didn't spend $8,000 on anything. You know, Darth Vader from Star Wars, big hero of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a lightsaber from this company, and the quality of the stuff that they replicate, it's absolutely excellent. So I can see where it's worth it if I'd never thought Lost in Space was worth it, but...
Yeah, but Star Wars is worth it.
The stuff they make is actually worth the prices they're charging. Right. They're definitely a good company.
If you don't mind, how much did you pay for your light sword?
Well, I'm in like a club membership with them because we bought a couple other things.
Sure.
But
what other things? Tell us everything you've purchased.
Chakram from the Xena Warrior Princess, her weapon, the round frisbee type thing.
Magic like that.
The Darth Vader lightsaber replica, little display stand, that's on the mantle at home.
That's on the mantle at home.
Yo, definitely.
You mean your mother's house?
No, not my mother's house. Actually, you know, I had to start making real money to buy these things because the little action figures kind of got old after 20 years.
Well, how much did the light sword cost?
That was $350. The only one problem, though, is the blade doesn't actually turn on.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a lightsaber after all that?
No. I thought I'd be able to go around slashing up animals and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Jackass.
Thanks, Simpson.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Mr. Pumpkin.
Bye-bye.
Rupert Pumpkin.
Mom!
At least I got the club
It's not
now.
Pumpkin. It's Rupert Pumpkin, right?
Pumpkin, yes. Pumpkin. Rupert Pumpkin.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, is this Don?
Yes, and Mike.
Hi, Don. This is Aaron. I'm a first-time caller.
Hey, Aaron, baby.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
It's going to be my 30th birthday tomorrow, and I wanted to see if you would give me my birthday spanking.
Listen, who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Well, I just asked my boyfriend because he said that you would probably ask me that, and he said that I look like Valerie Bertinelli with short hair.
Wow. Oh, yes, mommy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Yeah.
Don, sorry, we're not one of the mad Brits that are calling to bust your chops, but we recognise that you've got some pretty serious screening techniques for getting through to your show. I'm now very pleased that we got through, and I just wanted to let you know that
it's UK, Dave, Don.
What the hell is this?
Well, you should be thankful. You're now not nationally syndicated, but internationally syndicated, because clearly you're appealing to people outside the United States as well.
I'm telling you, this show would go over so big in Britain.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mike and I have been to Britain. We were friends for a while with a guy on Capital Radio over there.
I used to do the best American accent. There's nothing funnier than a British guy doing an American accent. That makes me laugh every time I hear it.
But generally, you know, your country is a weak second sister to America.
Oh, now see, we weren't going to get aggressive or feisty, but if you...
Well, I can't help it. I'm aggressive 24 hours a day.
That's right. We won that little thing we call the Revolutionary War. Kicked your butt.
That's very cute. You try to be like, you know, you're like America Junior.
But I'm keen to know, getting off that because it will go absolutely nowhere. And if I do try a rebuttal, then you're going to put the phone down on me anyway, so I can't win.
A rebuttal.
That's what I like about a British guy. He says, hey, I know I'm going to lose.
Right.
Just like we've lost everything.
Sure.
So I'll give in to the great, powerful Americans.
So there's no need for a rebuttal, so you are going to change the subject.
I tell you what, Mike, the writing will be on the wall in a couple of weeks' time. In fact, in less than a couple of weeks' time, a couple of days' time, when America gets slaughtered by Germany in the first round, and England are still there in the semis and the final.
Oh, so not one of them World Cup calls, one of them soccer calls we're getting today.
Oh, come on.
Let's face it, you are a powerhouse in sport, but in soccer terms, you're trying to rewrite the copybooks. You call a penalty kick a PK.
Mr. Bean.
You call a penalty kick a PK. What are you doing trying to rewrite the books? Excuse me, I won't eat my meat for you.
Hold on, we're coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, bring a single malted Glengarry for me and one for my boy Mikey here. And if you tell the bartender to go easy on the water, then this 50-cent piece has your name written all over it. Okay? I want you to run along because I'll be timing you. I'm going to keep time. 1, 2, 3, 4. What an asshole. Baby, that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
That was so demeaning.
She smiled, baby.
I can't believe what an asshole you are.
No, baby, she smiled.
She was smiling what an asshole.
No. She was smiling at how money I was.
The Don and Mike Show. The number one radio show in Haiti. The Don and Mike Show.
Boy, that cart number 6 is acting wacky now. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. Well, now, we have many people in the Whack Pack on the Don and Mike Show. We have Tom Gavin, Dennis Murphy, and once upon a time we had Rob Grippy, man who lives in car. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Meanwhile, Uncle Fest is still outside.
Looking really, now that he's shaved the head completely, looking scarier. I didn't think that was possible. He actually looks scarier now.
Not much chance he's going to be getting that job today, at least. So if you can hear me outside, and his name is Rob, is that his name?
Was it Rob Grip?
Grippy.
Rob Grippy.
Rob Grippy.
I don't think we're going to make a decision. Although, you know what? I do have these 25 gallons of ice cream.
He looks like he'd love them.
Oh, yeah. All right. Come on in.
Come on in, Rob.
Bring him in. I'm sorry, Rob. Our Rob A is upset.
Rob's very, very scared.
Come on in. Rob, why don't you go escort the other Rob in?
There
you go. Make yourself useful.
Don't hurt him. Rob Grippy making his way into the studio now.
We'll have him eat some ice cream.
Yeah, he's persistent. He deserves at least that. This is no indication of anything permanent.
No, it's just we got all this ice cream. And we want to thank Baskin-Robbins, one of our great sponsors, for providing the watermelon ice cream, Stars, Stripes, and Exploding Bites ice cream, and also the Swiss Almond Bliss ice cream.
Ooh.
Courtesy of Baskin-Robbins.
That sounds good.
One of their Baskin-Robbins in the Twin Brook Shopping Center.
Swiss Almond Bliss.
Yeah. It's dreamy, Mike.
Oh, boy, give me a giant scoop of Swiss Almond Bliss.
Here he comes. Oh, Jesus, he's a scary-looking guy.
He is, with that head shave. That is,
you know, he's kind of looking like Full Metal Jacket a little bit.
Yes, he is.
Private Pile?
Very much so.
All right, here he is.
Here he comes. Here comes Rob Grippy.
Hey, Rob.
There he is. Come up to the microphone,
right,
Rob.
Right over there, Rob.
Hi there.
Hey. How you doing?
How's it going?
I see the scars have healed on your head.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I cut myself that bad.
Yeah, and he's totally shaved his head now.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what is your take on all of the stuff that has happened with Joey?
I didn't think he'd show up anyway. I just didn't. I just got that impression.
Mm-hmm. And now, you must have just... What are you, like, stalking us in the parking lot? Because we announced at 3 o'clock that this guy, Joey, is ratting us out. And then 10 minutes later, you're out front of our building with big signs saying, trust me.
I live around here.
You live close by?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
And you've been a fan for a long time, right?
Oh,
calm down, Rob. Calm down now, Rob.
Since John Belushi used to do your closing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, with his head like that, he really does look like that Private Pile from Full Metal Jacket.
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah. jelly
yes.
donut in your Foot Locker.
Yeah.
It's chowed out in the mess by the pile.
And listen, don't let anybody tell you that those glasses that turn into sunglasses outside and then inside, that they don't let anybody tell you those don't work, because those work great.
Those work great, and I actually dropped them and broke them.
Do they have tape on them?
All over
yes,
my head.
Do they have scotch tape? Yes. Have you repaired them with scotch tape?
No, I repaired them with the little transparent tape, not even scotch.
Oh, really? Wow. And listen, that doesn't work because they still look like sunglasses in here.
Yeah.
They don't lighten up all the way.
Well, I mean, it will eventually, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen, are you hungry, son?
Sure am.
Okay.
Of course.
We have about 25 gallons of ice cream. What we'd like you to do during the next break, maybe we could set them up right there in the corner. We'll continue with the show. We can talk. Well, listen, I want to watch him eat and get the ice cream headache, Mike.
Okay, yeah. Don. He scares me, Don.
Please don't be.
I'm not afraid of you. No,
yes,
no,
yes, Rob A. Spiewak. Yes, hi.
I'd like to recommend the Stars and Stripes flavor, because I took a gallon of that home last night, and I didn't know it has Pop Rocks in it. And about four bites into it, I swear to God, I thought I was having a heart attack, because there was noise going off in my head. So I think if you give him that, you're really going to speed up the situation.
All right, well, listen, we'll get him out of here right now. Okay? Yeah, no offense, but just like put him in a back room or something. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk movies with Chuck Stossel.
Very good.
And while we're doing that, we can have this guy eat ice cream.
Good.
Hold on a second.
Why? Oh, no. That is there something with him, too?
Yeah, I got... Here's a background report on this guy. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you guys doing?
Hello, Bill.
Real good. Hey. I just called to let you know, about 2 years ago, Robert Grippy worked for us at Domino's and Pan Am Shopping Center there.
I believe he's now moved on to Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Well, at the time he was working for us, he was living out of his car and maybe taking a shower once every 2 weeks or as needed.
He was living out of his
car.
Is he living out of his car now? Oh, no. Oh.
All right. Is he living out of his car? Will someone find out if he lives out of his car?
Ask him if he... Rob?
Not that should influence. Exactly. I guess that's how he could be around so quickly. He lives in the area. Sure. He's living in our parking lot.
He is mobile.
Is he living out of his car now?
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if we can have a guy living out of his car.
Oh, no. Rob, you should go get yourself a job.
What kind of car is it?
Well, the car he delivers pizzas in, I guess.
Right. I bet it smells real good. Right. What kind of car is it, Robeg? Did you ask him? Oh, here comes Mr. Broyhill.
He says it's an 89 Volkswagen Jetta. He can't afford a place to live, though.
Oh, man.
But he has a phone.
Where does he like, clean himself, then?
Doesn't he have a job, though? Yeah, I mean, even
he delivers pizzas.
He delivers pizzas. Yeah.
He's a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
He works at home.
How does he wash himself? Wow, P.U.
Well, he's here, and he's ready to perform.
Get him some deodorant, maybe. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi.
All right, now this is a support call.
A support call for Rob.
For Rob.
Okay, now, I know that he lives in my private pile. And
you know what? Hey, is this Leslie?
Yes, it is.
Leslie, are you on a cordless?
No.
Because I'm really having a hard time getting you up here on the board.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay. I've known Rob for years, and I know that he lives in my private pile, and I know that he doesn't have the best BO.
You know, he does not have the best BO, right?
I know.
Yes.
I
Although,
know.
Isn't that kind of a oxymoron or misnomer to have the best BO?
You know, there's another contest. The best BO. You know, who has to call it the worst? Who's got the best BO? The most pungent, the most noticeable, a best BO contest.
So, what did you want to say about it, Leslie?
I just wanted to say that I've known him for years. He's a really nice guy. He's intelligent.
You weren't one of his caretakers or anything like that, were you?
No, he doesn't have any caretakers.
I'm just curious. Just wanted you
his
know,
caretaker is Mr. Goodrich.
No, he doesn't need it.
Okay.
What he didn't tell you is that he lives in his car because his friends ruined his credit, and he can't get on the lease anywhere. If I had a room, I'd rent to him.
Sounds like a guy we'd like to get involved with.
Huh?
All right. Thank you, Leslie.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. That's good. Support calls are good.
Thank you. Okay, and here he is now. Rob Gripple.
Rob Gripple?
Rob Gripple?
Is it Grippy?
What is it, Rob?
Grippy.
Grippy is Italian. It means sickness.
It's what?
It's Italian. It means sickness, he said. Rob Grippy.
Yes, sir.
Grippy. All right, now you're living out of your car.
Yeah. For about a month now, actually.
For about a month?
Wow. Yeah.
Where do you bathe and stuff, man?
Well, you know, I don't exactly want an audience there when I do it.
But, oh, okay.
It's cool, pretty much.
Cool. Do you have to go, like, to a Denny's or something, or...?
No.
Do you have a place you can go to get cleaned up and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I took a shower like about 2 hours ago, but it's kind of hot out there. And
it didn't work. It didn't take, man.
Okay, so you're looking to get a place, though?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And, you know, you do have a job with the Pizza Hut, right?
No, I got fired 2 days ago.
You got fired from Pizza Hut 2 days ago?
What happened there, Rob?
They fired me for verbally abusing another employee, but I don't think I did it.
Oh, no. Explain that to me. What happened?
Well, you see, the thing is, I was the bank where we usually cash our paychecks at stopped doing it, and I have like 6 uncashed paychecks here. Wow. Because mostly I've been living off tips. So I got really mad, and I called the corporate office, and I got, you know, one of those deals where you get put on hold, and you get put to this thing and to this thing. And after about half an hour of, like, going from this to this and trying to find out, they said, well, no one is really available to take your call, so leave a message. So I left a message basically saying, you know, F L U, F U, F
U. So you're, and then they fired you.
And then they found out who did it.
Disgruntled.
Disgruntled employee.
Pizza employee.
Oh, my God.
Man. All right, hold on. Jimmy the intern has a comment. Someone has a called. Is it on his behalf, Jimmy?
It's about him. It was one of his friends who wouldn't give his name, but says that this gentleman actually has a couple $1,000s that he keeps on him in his car, but won't spend it on a hotel or
well, that's
place
not
of the
good.
Staff.
Everybody knows that well, now.
Well,
oh,
that,
my God. Do you keep
is that true? Is that true, though?
It's in uncashed checks. It's not in cash.
Okay.
Like, why don't you get a place to live?
I'm trying to find a place to live. I've been calling different places, and I just really haven't been that successful.
And your friends ruined your credit?
Yeah.
How did they do that?
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, we rented this place over in Fairfax, and neither of us made enough money, so we both had to be in the lease, and then he just went like that.
He split. Oh, man.
Well, actually, he's back in town now, but there's, you know, you can't wring blood out of a rock, so to speak.
Right.
So
right.
I really can't get any money from him.
You got any family or anything like that around?
Oh, yeah, they live in Vegas.
They live in Vegas.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, maybe they're going to hear you now, because we're on in Las Vegas.
Oh, yes.
We're
on
in Las Vegas.
My dad's got money, too. He's the vice president in charge of operations of the Riviera.
Really?
Wait,
hold on. All right.
Yes,
Time out.
Wow.
Your dad is a big man with the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas?
Yeah. He's vice president in charge of operations.
Well, why don't you call daddy and ask him for a loan, man?
Is that a pride thing?
Sort of, yeah. I mean...
Well, but listen, I mean, all kidding aside about you doing this job, you're living in a car, man.
Yeah, everybody tells me this, you know, why don't you just sponge off your rich dad in Vegas, but, I've been trying to be out here and, you know, get the band going and maybe do something like that.
You have a band?
No, they all left town, too.
Oh, no.
Rob!
Oh. Man, this is terrible, man.
Why is everybody always picking on me? Your dad is really a big man at the Riviera Hotel.
Yeah.
So you could call him and he'd help you out if you called him?
Yeah, but...
Would you want to call him now?
I have hair stand up on the back of his neck over the phone, and I hate doing that.
Come on.
From when it's like, I hear him take that deep breath over the phone, and it's like,
But have you told him that your friends ruined your credit, and you're having to live in a car, and you got fired from Pizza Hut?
Does he know everything that's going on?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
Does he really? What did he say?
I can go back there if I want, you know, live there for, you know, as long as it takes to, you know, find a place out there.
Really? But you don't want to, huh?
Well, I had this band thing going, but now it's not really going, and I've been thinking of going out there.
Tell us about the band. What was the band thing going that you had?
Yeah. Well, I had this band called Everybody Sucks But Me, and...
Good name. All right, it's a good name, Rob.
Basically, what ended up happening was...
Why are you holding your head like that? That's freaking me out. Are you all right?
Sorry. No, I'm fine.
Your head's going to explode.
Yeah, okay.
I'm perfectly fine.
Okay.
Well, pretty much, one of them decided to move to Minnesota to be in a band that was signed, and then the other two said, oh, okay, well, so they both moved to Richmond.
So you're a musician?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you a singer?
Yeah, I'm the lead vocalist and songwriter.
Cool.
Really?
Do you play any instruments?
I play acoustic guitar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sing something for us?
Right now?
Yeah. You know Mbop? That was a joke. I love Hanson.
It's a Hanson tune.
I'm the only guy that likes Hanson. Many people think that I'm a super queer because I like Hanson. Maybe I am. I don't know.
So your whole band disbanded, basically.
The drummer's still here, and the bass players are only in Richmond. So.
What's your sexuality? That's a legit question.
I like the raised eyebrow,
like
too.
Homo, hetero, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, what's your sexuality?
Oh, hetero.
Hetero, okay.
Have you had any dates?
Resume, please, sexual resume?
Not very hetero, very successfully.
Really?
Have you successfully linked with another human, a female?
You're not a virgin, are you? You can admit if you're a virgin.
Tell us.
You're a virgin?
Probably.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
We attract guys like this, like the Shell No Pest strip.
We do. Any job prospects for you besides, you know, doing this?
Well, I only lost a job 2 days ago. I mean, I've been pretty much lounging around, just doing nothing.
Just lounging in the car?
Yeah, you know.
So listen, all kidding aside, when you live in your car, like, where do you park and stuff? What's a safe area to park and spend the night?
Well, you know, not like I want an audience or anything, but...
Well, give me an example, a generic example. Is it a shopping center? Is it a residential area?
Anything, really. I mean, anything's good as long as, you know, it's not something too off the beaten path where it would be suspicious, but not something too in the middle of everything.
Do
you
go back to get together with your family, like, for holidays and stuff
Every Christmas.
Every Christmas you go back.
Yeah.
So you do have a family connection.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right.
Your dad really is a big shot at the Riviera.
Yes. Yes, he
wow.
is.
That's
you know what I can't get? Why didn't you just call them and say, listen, Dad, you know, I've hit a real tough spot here.
Uh-huh.
Can you please help me out?
Well, with what? I mean, I've got money. I mean, it's just...
You've got money,
you would just rather be unbathed living in your car, right?
No, I'm not unbathed.
Now, is this a...
I haven't found a place to live yet.
Is this the first time?
Right.
You say it's only been a couple of months that you've been living in your car?
Yeah, before
Well, the guy called from the other pizza place.
I've been homeless other times before.
Uh-huh.
Because I keep getting places with my friends, and then, you know, something happens to the place, and then I got to move.
Hey, you know what? I think I got some brood or something back in our desk. Would someone run back to the desk and see if I've got any of my perfumes back there?
So all of your possessions are with you.
I'll give you a nice Elvis bath.
In the car.
In the car.
Except for my electric guitar, which is with a friend of mine.
With a friend. Yeah. All right.
So when you live in your car, what's the living room? Front seat?
Pretty much all the stuff's taken up every place except the driver's seat.
So you have to sleep sitting up, or do you go sideways on the front seat?
You can put the seat all the way back down.
All the way back.
You seem like an intelligent guy. A high school graduate?
No.
No, you dropped out of high school?
No, I dropped out and got the GED thing.
Oh, you got the, so you have your GED?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And what is the ultimate goal for you, Rob?
In music, really. I mean,
something in music.
I happen to think I'm an absolutely brilliant songwriter.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. You think you're a brilliant songwriter?
Yes.
Can you give us some of the titles of the songs?
You should write a song about your life, man. I mean, I'm not goofing. I should write a song about my dad works at the Riviera and I live in my car.
Jewel lived in her car until she had this recent hit.
Did she really?
Yes, she did. Jewel lives in her car?
In San Diego.
She and her mother both lived in their car.
Is part of the living in your car because of that?
Is part of the living in your car because you kind of like the, you know, the idea of the writing songs about being, in hard times and all that?
You know, it's partially that, and, you know, I've done it before, so it really isn't that bad. I mean,
okay.
Do you find, like us, people get a little weirded out when you say that? That, you know, especially if you've got family, you know, places where you could stay?
They don't seem to understand it a whole lot, and maybe they get weirded out, but they don't tell me.
Would you consider calling your dad? I mean, on the show?
Sure. I don't know the number of the hotel he's...
That we can find.
At work right now.
Yeah.
It's hard to find us.
Well, that would be wild, man.
Yeah, so good.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm not going to have you eat the ice cream right now, man.
Yeah,
I'm fascinated by you.
This is a fascinating story here for us. You can understand our fascination, right?
You know, beyond you eating your own hair and, like, being our comedy slave, you do seem like a pretty decent guy. I would like to try to help you out. I'd like to try to help you out.
Would you mind if we tried to help you out here? I mean, in whatever. I mean, because you... You know,
yeah.
You shouldn't be living in your car.
Yeah,
man.
No kidding.
We feel bad.
It's
now, what about raving out though with the people that you said? I mean, did you lose the other pizza delivery job too in a similar way where you kind of raved out or what?
What happened to Domino's?
No, they said I wasn't doing a good job. And the thing is, well, I don't want to mention that on the air. But
why not?
They were
why stop at this point?
They were doing something with my paycheck that I didn't like either, and it's sort of a half fired, half quit thing.
Okay, so you quit that one. Now, any other jobs in your? I mean, you're 28. Obviously, you've had other jobs.
Yeah.
What other jobs have
mostly
you had?
Delivering pizzas.
Pizza delivery is your thing.
Pizza delivery is a pretty good job. You know, it's kind of relaxing. You just drive around.
Sure, set your own hours. Now, listen, I can deal with that. Yeah. If you're a guy who loves being in, I love being in my car, but there's no way I'd want to live in my car.
Sure.
Yeah.
So maybe how about this? We'll break here. We'll come back. We'll call your dad. You know, see if maybe there's something your dad can do for you. Maybe your dad knows somebody at a pizza place in Vegas or something where, you know, would you like to be the manager of a pizza place?
No, I just, I was thinking about going to Vegas, and then I heard about the contest, and I said, well, what the hell?
Oh, so we call your dad, we can at least get you back to Vegas, which I think might be the best idea of all.
Well, especially if your dad's a big shot,
a
high roller.
I mean, I can go back to Vegas myself. I just visited them a couple months ago.
Well, if we call him, I mean, can we just close that deal for you so it would be kind of like peace of mind for us? You know, say, hey, Dad, take him back, and then we'd know everything's okay.
Did you ever see the movie Casino?
Okay. Yeah,
yep.
Sure.
Is your dad like Robert De Niro?
It was filmed right on the studio floor of the Riviera. I mean, right on the casino floor of the Riviera.
So your dad wears like those goofy-looking pastel suits that Robert De Niro wore, no?
It's like it says in the movie. You know, Vegas is a lot different than it was in the 70s.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, hold on a second. Now, I've got all kinds of people that want to want to talk to you and want to help you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Buzz, how are you all?
We're great, thanks.
Hey, listen, you all are being a little too hard on your intern to be there. I mean, Rob, I mean...
What do you mean?
How are we being hard on him?
Well, because what you're not understanding is that he's got his vision of where he wants to be.
Right.
And
well, that's
just
cool.
Because he's not willing to settle into society's, vision of how one should work your way up.
All right, Timothy Leary, we're just trying to we're just trying to help the guy out.
Hey, listen, it's not particularly safe to live in your car.
Well, I'm an artist now, and a very successful artist. But when I was getting started, I lived for 3 years in an abandoned building.
Well, you know what I would say? I'd say that's a lot better than living in your car.
The car might be a transition.
It's a transition to the abandoned building.
did you also have an opportunity to live with family or something?
Oh, sure,
like that?
And I had a regular job. I worked.
All right. Well, then listen.
So this is way. You know, I understand what this guy's saying. This is somebody who's giving us the perspective of, for art's sake, right?
Well,
you're doing it for art's sake.
Maybe you would understand our position if you could take a good look at it.
Oh, God.
I'm a father now.
Maybe if you could come
in this room and you could smell him.
Right.
Maybe you'd understand our perspective.
No
offense, Rob.
I understand exactly. If my son was doing that.
Take a scoop. You want some?
Yeah.
Sure. Are you hungry?
Go ahead.
Please. Help yourself.
Help yourself.
And give us the, what's the review of the flavor? You're obviously, you're what?
There are paparazzi, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, I called because I'm listening to this guy's plight here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's living in this car. I'm an independent record producer. I don't make a lot of money, and I don't work for a big record company, but I do work for a record company.
Oh, really? Would you give the name so I know you're legit?
I work for Vision Quest Records.
All right, I've heard of them, okay.
Vision Quest Records.
Yeah, we were distributed by Laurie for many years, and now we're through Sony.
That's Laurie Partridge, everybody. That's
right.
Who you're
distributed.
Oh, you're really hungry, aren't you?
Anyway.
No, not really. I just love ice cream. Great.
He's diving into this ice cream.
Oh, all right. Barry, is that your name? Can you hold on, please?
Sure.
Okay, because we have to do a commercial set here.
All right, man.
Rob, you know, can I say something that just weirded me out a little bit just then?
Okay.
We had a record guy on the phone. You heard that, obviously.
Yeah,
you kind of didn't react at all. You were focused more on your ice cream than you were.
Ice cream's good.
Okay.
He's an artist, man.
Yeah.
Okay. He's an artist.
All right,
we'll come right back, and we'll call your dad. Frankly, I'm fascinated with that part of the story.
Yes, yeah, so am I.
So, Boy, you really like that ice cream, don't you, Rob?
Pretty good.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're gonna end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. Like the Girl Scouts, they have changed. Don and Mike.
Right. And welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. We are having some fun now, ain't we? All right, so in the last segment, we met Rob Grippy, man who lives in car. Let's continue with Rob Grippy on the Best of Don and Mike.
Rob, you're making your way through that half gallon pretty good there. Why don't you pull the microphone,
towards you there, Rob.
There you go. Make yourself comfortable. You can pull it forward.
See how I have mine here? Talk this close. See how Mike has his very close to your
mouth.
Very close?
Okay.
All right. So how's the
Pop Rocks sensation is really, interesting.
You never served any time, have you, Rob? Any time?
No, I haven't.
At all.
All right, here's another important question. Have you ever been institutionalized?
Not while I've been an adult.
Not while I've been an adult. So since you've been 18, you've been cool.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Really?
Okay. All right, let me get that record producer back on the line.
Not while I've been an adult. He's a mystery man.
Yes.
He's not giving us the answers that make us totally comfortable.
That's an enigma.
He's a carman.
Pretty scary.
Hello, Barry. Now,
yeah.
You're the guy who's the record producer, right?
That's right.
Okay. Rob?
Hello, Barry.
Maybe you could tear yourself away from that ice cream just for a second.
Yeah, you have are you hungry? You know, we were discussing that. You're not really hungry. You were eating it, seriously, it was the last half gallon of ice cream on the planet.
I eat everything that way.
You do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. God. You were just eating it because it was there.
Yeah, basically. I ate a lot, so,
How much did you eat? What was that, a half gallon or a gallon?
I don't know. I made about half of that, however much that is.
Did you get... How much is that, Rob?
A quart?
You get a quart of ice cream.
Yeah, that's a half gallon right there that he's got.
You get an ice cream headache?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right, Barry. Yes, hi, Barry. The record producer. You're on now with Rob.
Well, hi, Rob.
Hello.
Tell me about your music, Rob.
It's all over the place. It's really hard to describe. It's, just whatever works with the song.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't help me much, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. I'd
love to be able to help you out if you have any tapes. Have you done any recording at all?
Yeah, sure. In fact,
were they in the glove compartment?
No, they're, Tim, I'm not sure. I actually dropped one off here last time I came over here.
A music tape?
Yeah.
All right.
I got one in the car.
That's
about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be happy to leave my address there with these guys, and you can send me some material. The reason I called is because, I've done the same thing, man. I've lived off the street because I'm a musician, and right now I'm, real fortunate. And if your music's good and it speaks, it speaks for you, if it's modern and cutting edge,
so to
speak, I would love to hear it. And, there's a couple of places that I know where other musicians live. There's rooms available. And
That's very nice of you, Barry.
If we could work together and I could do some production work or decide to do some production work for you, then I certainly can provide you with a roof.
What do you think of that, Rob?
I mean, someone who could do production work would be great because the masters have been sitting in this studio for like almost a year now, waiting to get someone to do it.
I don't want to bore the audience with technical stuff about what format and that kind of thing like that. We can talk about that later. But, I just thought I'd give you the offer because I hate to see some guy living in his car, especially if he's got good music to sell.
All right, well, thank you. Barry, that's real nice. Hold on, please.
Sure.
Barry.
Hold on.
That's very nice of him. Very nice.
It's nice to know he cares.
I'd like to hear a little sample of your musical ability. Can you tell me what type of music you like? Maybe I can put something on here and you can sing along and we can hear what you got to offer.
Oh, I'm not really much of a singer. I'm more of a songwriter, really.
Okay,
songwriter.
So you're a songwriter. And your tape features other people singing your stuff?
No, it features me singing my stuff.
You
but
singing
it's good
your stuff.
Give us a title. Give us a title or two.
What's on there? The first song is Cute Little Redhead in the Bondage Flick.
Cute Little Redhead in a Bondage Flick?
How's that one go?
It's a love song.
It's sort of like it's a spoken word kind of thing.
Every time I think you can't like scare me more, you scare me more. My God.
Listen, are you familiar with the Wallflowers? Have you heard that song they play on one headline? Okay, listen, here it is. I want to hear you sing along with us. I know you said you're not
words.
Do you know the part where they go, with one headline?
Yeah.
I'll cue it up to that part.
Any other titles while he's queuing that up? Any other titles?
Blood Orgy at the Mall.
Blood Orgy at the Mall?
Yeah. There's one called A-Hole.
I think you need some better titles, man. There it is. Better than in the middle. Because me and Cinderella got it all together.
Me and Cinderella got it all together. We can take it all with one headlight.
Yeah.
All right, listen, that's not bad. I expected much worse.
Right.
Let me hear you with the music here. Now, can we turn up the speaker so we can hear? Hold on. I'll recreate it for you. Okay, now, listen, a lot of people are listening, so here you go. No pressure, but do a great job. Here you go.
Put me all together. Got to be something better than in the middle. Me, Cinderella. Got it all together, we can take it all with one headlight.
Well, he can sing. He has proven he can sing.
I give you some credit, Rob. That's not bad. I expect you to sound like me, for goodness sakes.
I tell you, even during your singing, though, I was thinking about those song titles. Do they all involve death and the bloodiness and all that stuff?
Oh, no.
Do you have any sweet titles? Blood Orgy at the Mall.
The one acoustic one I have is called The Happy Song.
The Happy Song.
The Happy Song.
And all the others are like Kill, Maim, Destroy?
No, not really. Not really. It's, just...
you got to get happier titles.
Whatever I'm having to think of,
Where's my Hanson record? I got lots of happy titles. I like Oom-bop and
Oom-bop. Yeah,
Oom-bop.
Mm-hmm.
They got another song called Oom-bop.
What inspired you to write Blood Orgy at the Mall?
You're just thinking about that. I was 18.
Oh, really?
So, that's what most 18-year-olds write about.
Okay. Well, let me take a couple more calls here for Rob because our audience has a lot of stuff they want to say to him.
Very good.
All right, here's a guy in a local band. Okay, hello. Is this Mike?
Yeah. Hi, Donna. Mike.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. You guys rule. I've listened to you out for quite a long time.
We do appreciate that.
But, I wanted to talk to Rob. because I'm in a band and we're looking for a lead singer slash songwriter guy. Because we've got a bunch of ideas for songs, we've got music, but none of us in the band can write any form of lyrics whatsoever.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm attempting to sing while I play at the same time, but I'm not the best one at it. I'm more of a background vocal singer.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, it's an acquired skill.
Yeah, it takes me a while. I'm getting better at it, but we're looking for, a lead singer and a songwriter. To kind of help us out, we've got some connections with a lot of the local places that play local bands around in the Fairfax area.
Okay. Well, listen, Mike, hold on a second. We'll get that information also.
All right, now we got so far we've gotten a record producer and a guy with a band. Are you feeling pretty good about yourself right now?
You guys are a very powerful organ.
Here's another call for you, Ron.
Powerful organ.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, does Rob ever get to watch TV?
Just very occasionally. Just very occasionally.
And what would that be? If you're walking past an appliance store or something?
when I go over and visit one of my friends or something.
Okay.
Yeah, you do have lots of friends, huh?
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm just checking, have you thought about crashing with your friends?
Yeah, I ask all of them, and they keep saying, well, you know, we're full. Well, you know, if I had a room,
All right, I understand. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, we're just getting ready to fire our band, though. We always listen to you folks before we start. From one musician to another, tell him good luck. I hope it pans out for him. We're behind him.
See, that's our goodwill from our audience, right?
All right. Well, thank you.
You guys got the best audience in the world.
Tell him to take a chance on it. Go for it. It's what he's looking for. Go for it.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Now, listen, you have all this support. You have a couple of leads. All we got to do now is call your dad. Because I'm still fascinated by the fact that
his dad
is like a vice president with the Riviera.
I am, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and I just read this memo that has nothing to do with our friend Tiny here.
Yes.
But did anybody read this memo
at the
front desk? Memo to staff from Ken Stevens.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have been told that boxes stored in the reception area and in other areas of the building have been opened and the merchandise has been removed that is stolen from the boxes.
Aha! Ooh.
In case you are the person who is opening these boxes, let me assure you that what you are doing is stealing and you will be fired immediately when you are caught.
You know, I heard Tammy the other day.
Theft will not be tolerated.
I heard her.
Kenito Stevens!
I heard her complaining about the fact that that stuff had been ripped off.
Wow. Who would steal the junk that's out of the lobby, though?
People, you know, just to steal.
Hey, what's been stolen? That's cool. I love a mystery.
A brand new car, Bob. It's a new car.
You didn't take anything, did you, Rob?
No.
Rob A., do you know about this?
I remember there was some time ago when there was a broken remember when there was like three TVs out there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At one point, one of them was stolen. The broken one was stolen. And 2 weeks later, they returned it. And no one knows who took it, but they got it home.
Are you kidding? Someone that works here stole one of those big screen TVs for the lobby?
I don't know if they work here, but I mean, I remember this happening, yeah.
Wow.
How come we didn't find out about that?
And it wasn't me.
Wow. All right. Little espionage here at CBS Radio.
So much going on today.
Okay, hold on. Rob, I think we've about figured out your situation. We got you a couple of leads. When we'll do a quick break. We'll come right back. We'll call your dad, and then we should probably just part as friends like that.
Okay.
He doesn't care. Nothing phases you, does it?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot.
So it rolls right off my back.
So once when you leave here, I mean, you got these leads here. What are you going to do? Are you going to go back to Vegas? Or are you going to go, pursue some of these leads? What do you think you'll do?
Don't know.
Oh, God. Weird, man.
Oh, weird.
This guy's weird.
Weird.
Okay, listen. Let's call his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anything, I just want to see if we can help him get on his feet in some way. We have a couple tips for him. We have the guy from the record company, and a lot of guys in bands have called, but now we're just going to call your dad.
Anything you'd like to add before we call your dad?
No, not really.
Not really.
Yeah, think of anything.
You're weird, man. I mean, I like you. You're cool, but you're weird.
And the weirdness comes in the...
Riviera Hotel. This is Janie. How may I get your call?
Hi, this is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now. Do you want to ask for your dad? What's your dad's name?
Colonel Grippy.
Colonel Grippy, please.
I'm sorry, who, sir?
Colonel Grippy?
No, that's who he is, not.
Oh, I know. Oh. Yes, my name is Don, and this is my friend Mike. We're doing a radio show right now.
Okay.
And we have Colonel Grippy's son here with us.
Son Rob.
Is it... What's his first name, Grippy, on Grippy?
Rob Grippy. That's
Rob me. Grippy?
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, Rob Grippy.
Is he a registered guest?
No, we want a guy who works at the hotel.
I'm his son. I'm Colonel Grippy's son.
Okay, but I need to know who's... he works here in the hotel, correct?
Yes, he's the operations... he's the vice president in charge of operations.
Okay, thank you. That's Jerry Grippy, sir.
Yeah, Jerry. Colonel.
Thank
yes.
you.
Okay.
All right. Oh, so your dad really does.
All right, that's cool. All right, that's the big sigh of relief from all of us here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Good. You well?
You know, you have been
not lying. You've been very honest. You haven't said anything. You know, unlike that other guy, Joey.
Yeah, no.
Joey had a credibility problem.
We're trying to help you, man. I mean, I'd like you to be our comedy slave and to you know, to take advantage of it and everything. But I don't feel right taking advantage of somebody like that when I don't think that that person's on their feet. You understand what I'm saying?
I've got plenty of money on me. It's just, you know, I'll find a place to live when, you know, when I find a place to live.
Okay.
We'll let you handle it with your dad.
Yeah. I don't really know what you want me to say to him.
Sir?
I mean,
hello?
Hello? Hi, yes. This is the hotel operator again.
Yes.
Mr. Griffey's still at lunch.
Oh, he's still at lunch. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, would you tell him his son called?
And your name is?
Rob Griffey.
My name is Rob.
Rob Griffey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Yep. I'll let him know.
Hey, what's the lounge act tonight?
I'm sorry?
Who's performing in the lounge tonight at the Riviera?
In the lounge tonight in the La Bistro Lounge?
Yes, in La Bistro Lounge.
Okay, we have playing in the La Bistro Lounge tonight.
Uh-huh.
It'll be just, Sneak Preview and Touch of Silk.
And who's in your main ballroom tonight?
Tonight we have,
you know who was on TV last night? It was those two,
Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy. Saw them. Yeah.
No, we don't show anybody in the main lounge.
Huh. Well, I mean, what about your big showroom?
Big showroom is just Slash.
What was that?
Slash.
Slash from Guns N' Roses?
No.
You say Splash or Slash?
S-T.
Splash.
Splash.
Splash. Splash. Is that one of your big, production shows?
Yes, sir.
All right. Gotcha. Okay. Well, just tell the colonel that his son called, just to check in.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right.
Okay, well, we verified that. That makes any... Will you try to get in contact with him again, or what?
I call him, you know, every week or two or whatever.
Uh-huh. And he knows your situation and knows...
Yeah, sure.
Does he ever say, hey, can I... You know, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's the point. Has your dad ever said to you, listen, you're living in a car, things are not going too great, why don't you let me help you?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, if I need any help, I call him and he helps me, but
you don't ask, huh?
I don't ask a whole lot.
Does he know the car? Does he know that you're living in the car?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What does he say about it?
Well, you know, I think he's just at that point where he's gone, hey, he's supposed to be an adult, you know, let him do what he wants to.
Okay. Right.
If he needs help, he can call.
So you've been doing this a lot. You said you've been homeless before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he kind of just says, all right, you deal with it any way you can. And if you need help, I'm always there.
Yeah.
That's
well,
what
he's a great
says.
Guy.
Right.
He really is.
If you get on your feet, you know, give us a call. But I feel weird about that, man.
Yeah, we want you to go out and, you know, pursue these leads, get a job. Get an apartment and let us know when everything's going all right. And
right.
We hope your music thing works out. But quit living in your car.
Ooh. Okay.
You sure. I mean, especially if you have the financial means to not live in your car.
Yeah, we're a little concerned about it.
I've been calling places. I just, you know, I haven't gotten any...
But what about like a cheap hotel or something?
Oh, man, the hotels around here are expensive, even the really cheap ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, hold on. I got one more call for you.
Okay.
And then we're going to end this. Here is someone who's... offering you a job. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Court.
Yes, hello.
And I'm calling from Mount Vernon Hospital.
Last name TV.
Furniture rental.
Now, right now,
room.
Me and my dad heard
Jester
Marshall
story on the radio.
Yeah.
And August 31st, we're moving into a 3-bedroom apartment, and we need a roommate, and we can get him a job like as soon as like tomorrow.
What do you
think? Yeah, I'd be interested in the place to live. I mean, I could probably find my own job, but yeah, I'd be interested in the place to live. I got plenty of money.
Oh, you'd like this job, though. It's like working as a...
See, man, you're too weird. That's what weirds me out about you. You got guys calling saying, listen, we'll give you leads on a job, and you're like, yeah, I don't care. I got money, but you're living in your car.
We got a nice room for him. It's a 3-bedroom apartment in Fairfax Square.
That's great, yeah. Great.
All right. Yeah. Charlie, I hope you're writing all these numbers down for him.
Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, Rob, please keep us abreast of what happens with you.
Would he fall into the category of the most laid back guy we've ever met in our life?
Absolutely.
You're the most laid. Do people call you laid back? Have you always been this laid back?
Yeah, I pretty much always had this attitude.
You weren't laid back when you called the paycheck people the other day.
Well, yeah,
I was
a little upset.
You were a little upset.
Yeah.
Moments of calm.
Are you on Valium or anything like that?
No. I'm getting.
You getting what?
I had a little bit of an ice cream headache earlier, but I'm fine.
All right. Okay. All right. Court, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Hold on. Okay, well, Rob, nice meeting you.
Get the numbers.
And please keep us abreast of what's happening.
You want a half gallon for the road?
No, just melt in the car.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, Rob. Nice meeting you.
Well, it was good meeting you.
Thanks for being such a loyal fan of our show.
Good luck with the music career.
All right.
Good luck with finding a place to live.
Good luck with getting a job.
All right.
And good luck with everything.
All right. Good luck with whatever you want.
Okay.
Okay.
The world is your oyster.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. How can I thank you?
Would
really?
You like to any parting words? Any parting words?
Any parting words
for your just, fans? Because I know after this much time in the studio, you already have fans.
All right, Don and Mike, radio gods. What can I say? Also, a couple of nicest human beings, really, on the face of the earth. Got to say it.
Oh, well, you're very sweet. Right.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay.
Good luck to you. Let us know what's going on.
Bye, Rob.
Just don't do it out in front of the studio.
Yeah.
Call us and let us know what's going on.
Get an address.
Yeah, please keep in touch, though, and call us. We'd like to hear from you.
Just call.
Call, though.
Don't come by.
Underlined.
Call.
Right.
Can we lock that door? There you go, Rob. Put a chair up against the door, please.
And give them the numbers, too. Give them the numbers of all those nice people that called.
Well, you know, there was really no funny way to get out of that.
Obviously he's legit. I don't dispute anything he says. We thought, of course, like a lot of people thought, perhaps that the thing with the hotel was maybe just a total fabrication.
Yeah, but he knew. So everybody, that's the end of the story of Rob, the crazy guy who lives in his car.
Hello, Rob.
Good night, everybody.
That's right.
Okay. I'll just take one call on this topic, and then we will move on. Hello?
Fino.
Hello?
Hello.
La Supersonics.
La Supersonicas.
Hello, yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a comment about old Rob there.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling that no matter how much anybody tries to help him, he doesn't want to be helped. Like, he's got the money. He's got the six paychecks that he hasn't cashed. He's got the dad that he can go to if he wants to. I've had a friend like that where no matter what you do to try to help him, they always just kind of live in their car and they don't bathe, and I don't know what it is about that kind of guy, but that's the feeling I get.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, maybe you're right. I don't know. And listen, there's a lot of stuff that I don't know about, like the six paychecks. And,
sure, and we can analyze and we can judge all we want, but the bottom line is he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he seems to be a lucid individual, and
seems to be,
and whatever he does, really, it is a free country. It is his business.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I called earlier about our band getting ready to fire up and everything. And
yeah.
Going to go, it's not the end of the story. He's the guy that's going to go far. He's just going to land in his lap, and he'll be the one that makes everybody out there struggling.
He's striking a chord. He's arousing passion in people.
Yeah. We've all spent time. I mean, I spent 3 years in a garage, and now I've got my own house, little estate and everything, but he'll go places. He's sitting there eating ice cream, and everybody's offering him everything. He'll make it.
He'll make it. All right.
Thank you.
Very good.
You know what that was? That was a little tinge of sour grace. What he was saying was, he's the type of guy that'll make it. A guy that doesn't care. A guy that's having everything offered to him.
It's true.
The next thing you know, we're going to turn on MTV tomorrow is going to be him shaking his big butt on TV.
And that nothing would make us happier.
Okay, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Robbie.
Yes, this is Rob A. Spiewak. Welcome to my show. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, as always.
Oh, great. Hey, I was just calling. My name's Joe.
I'm thinking about doing some aerobic exercise.
Don't do it, Rob. Welcome to fantasy land.
All right.
I'm Rob Spiewak. Hi, welcome to my show.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't get my radio down. I'm sorry. Yes. Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, Buzz. How you doing?
There you go.
Okay, hi.
You finally clued in.
Yes,
yep.
Hello.
I got it. I was just calling. My name's Joe. I'm calling to say that I'll cash his checks for him. I got an account that'll...
Well, that's another thing about that whole thing that struck me as weird, but I didn't know if I wanted to say it. And I'm like, let me see the checks, because that was the weirdest part. If you've got money on you,
right?
Why would you drive around and live in your car? But then, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, one thing that we didn't explore and we haven't mentioned, there might be a laziness factor here.
Yeah,
there might be a total, you know, laziness gone wild.
It's possible.
You know, that is an outside shot. You know,
he looked like he had the potential to be lazy.
Absolutely. He went into that ice cream pretty hard, and, you know, who knows? Who knows? But, hey, we got him some leads, and he's left happy. That's the important thing.
We think he left happy.
Okay. I hope he left
Can
happy.
Can he leave? Is he gone?
I think he's gone, Don.
Got the chair against the door?
Is it what? What?
Get the chair against the door?
Chair against the door.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, everybody's... Is he gone?
Clear.
He's clear. All right.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello there. Are you two heading for Las Vegas?
Yeah. We're going to score.
Well, I hope to score big there myself. I'm mostly going to be doing the slots.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do some slots, too. Do they have a lot of slots in Las Vegas?
Oh, there's so many slots, we won't know where to begin.
Whoa. Hey, buddy, this chick is pretty cool. She says there's going to be tons of slots in Las Vegas.
Cool. It's so nice to meet young men who are so well-mannered.
The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Noted Bonesman, Don Geronimo, and Michael Mara.
That's right. The time has flown by today. It's the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on vacation for a couple of weeks, so don't worry. They haven't been suspended. They haven't been bad. They've been very good. And to prove that, I've got Highway Love Connection for you on the best of Don and Mike.
Now we have all kinds of women. Who knew that women were such gigantic wrestling fans?
Oh, they love the wrestling.
All kinds of women that want to do the Highway Love Connection for the lunch with the WWF guys.
Excellent.
And we have enough. We have plenty of tickets.
Good.
We have enough tickets that everybody that calls, if they manage to find themselves a date,
good,
will be able to go.
All right. Good.
Let's start with Kim, old Kimbo. Hello, Kim.
Hi.
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 Hi there.
Hey.
Hi. Kim, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Alexandria, Virginia.
And you know, I forgot to mention this. I don't know where all the girls are calling from, but we have tickets for all the WWF tour stops.
Good.
In all the cities that we broadcast this. So wow. If you call them from Detroit or Vegas or Sacramento, we can still work it out with you.
Excellent.
We can hook you up.
We can hook you with the wrestlers.
I got the hook up. Kim.
Yes.
Kim, where are you right now? What city? Alexandria?
Alexandria off of Seminary Road in front of the 7-Eleven and the Southern Towers apartment complex.
Okay, we need to find out about you. Kim, how old are you and who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I am 35 years old and I have been told I look like the Mr. Mom Terry Garr. Not the Terry Garr over the wall, but the Mr. Mom Terry Garr.
It's very important that you categorize that because
right.
There's a point when Terry Garr did hit the wall.
Yeah
and you can see it most clearly in Friends when she plays Phoebe's mother. You can get a good look at her in
Have you seen the radio station ad she does? She does ads for syndicated radio stations.
Yeah, absolutely. Somewhere along the line, she took her Cloris Leachman pills.
She's an old broad, though, because
she's been at it a long time. We had some kind of discussion
every
about
once
that
in a while. You know what it is? I remember exactly what it was. We were watching a Columbo one day, and Terry Garr was on Columbo, or it was McCloud.
Hey, McCloud.
It was one of those old shows.
If I'm not mistaken, she was like a hullabaloo dancer, which would have her born in like 1940.
Oh, Rob, shut up.
How old are you, Rob?
Me? I don't know.
Yeah, Rob's in his 20s. I'd like to point that out.
Ageless. I think that she was on the Columbo or the McCloud, and we saw her, and she was at that point, circa like 1972. Very young and very hot.
Absolutely. I think she's done some black and white work also, too. I really, that was the discussion we had. I think she goes way back, a long time ago.
She doesn't look good now.
No.
But, Kim, you say you look like her before she hit the wall, right?
So I've been told.
It's
and
the wall.
What are you looking for in a young man to take you to wrestling, Kim?
Oh, dear. How about lots of fun? Just give me some good old-fashioned fun.
Do you care if he's younger than you?
No.
Okay.
Old enough to drink.
And, Kim, what kind of car can we find you in?
I'm in a black Mercedes-Benz.
Whoa.
Oh, baby.
Whoa.
Baby. A hot older woman in a Mercedes. In a Mercedes. Mercedes.
Mercedes. Maybe she's a black Mercedes. Maybe she's a black widow.
Kim, what we're going to do is give you 60 seconds to sell yourself. Sell your location and tell the guys where you are, okay?
Great.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Kim, Lil Kim, right here.
Yeah. This is Kim. I'm lots of fun. I like to work out. I rollerblade. I kickbox. I'm an outdoorsy kind of girl. I just came from a company picnic, so I'm a little bit hot and sweaty, a little sticky too, but still having a good time. Won the karaoke contest at my company picnic. I'm a professional that works downtown D.C. I do internet work for a trade association.
Where are you? Give
I
your
live
location,
in Alexandria, a born and raised Washingtonian.
Hey, Kim, what is your location? You got to give that.
Oh, okay. Off of 395, the Seminary Road exit. Seminary Towers, and I'm sitting in front of the 7-Eleven and the First Virginia Bank within the apartment complex.
All right. Sounds like she might be a little pushy to me.
Hey.
Just a little bit.
You're a lady that has ever been around the horn there, Kim?
Around the horn.
Married?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
What happened?
Can I use a cliche?
Sure.
We just grew apart.
You know, I tell you, right now, I think that there's a 23, 24-year-old guy out there. Kim could, you know, make him the boy toy.
Yeah, I think so. She's doing it for me, I got to be honest. I do have a thing for big-mouth, pushy women. I married one myself. Kim, hold the line, please, okay?
Sure.
That's Kim. She's in Alexandria. She's at the Southern Towers Apartments. At the 7-Eleven, and that's right up what, a Seminary Road, you said?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, hold on, Kim, hold on. We'll check back and see if you found yourself a guy.
We're going to my favorite restaurant tonight. Now get in the car. And before that, put my luggage in the trunk and now do me.
Here is our second girl. She is Katie.
Katie!
And she is calling from, I swear to God, the armpit of the state of Maryland. Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
Upper Marlboro!
The state of Maryland.
Oh, God.
And I know...
there she went. I think you offended her.
Hey, she's gone. I used to live there.
Like
that's
the
how
wind.
I know.
Like the wind. Right. You lived there for a while, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Oh, we lost her.
Until we climbed the wall and made it to Montgomery County.
What a shame.
But for a long time, my family lived out in Upper Marlboro.
Upper Marlboro. It sucked.
All right, well, let's go to... Sharon.
Sharon.
Okay, Sharon. Oh.
We have another mature woman on the phone.
Excellent.
Hi there, Sharon.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, baby, we're doing fine. Sharon, tell us how old you are and the celebrity you think you most resemble.
Well, I'm 43 years old.
43.
And you guys have already seen me.
Really?
I'm the mom that jumped in the mud pit for her daughter going after the engagement ring.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The blonde, short blonde hair. You said I look like a pretty good looking Shirley Jones, maybe.
And your daughter was there, right, that
exactly.
day?
Exactly.
I remember that. You were like Mom of the Year.
Right. Okay. What are you looking for in a boy?
Somebody, of course, that's mature like myself.
What's your cutoff age there, Sharon?
Sharon. Cutoff age as far as
guys,
my age or no, under
guys,
my age?
How young is the youngest guy that you would accept going on this date with?
Oh, I would say 30-ish something.
All right, 30. Let's say 30.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good.
Sharon, where are you right now?
Okay, I am in the Bailey's Crossroads Shopping Center right across the street, right near the Wachovia Bank, and across the street from Radley Acura.
Beautiful. And what kind of car are you driving, Sharon?
I am in a light blue Lincoln Continental.
Okay. Boy, we got some great cars. You know, we got the Mercedes, we got the Lincoln Continental. Wow.
All right, Sharon, what we're going to do is give you 60 seconds to sell yourself.
Okay.
Please make sure you also give your location.
Uncle Buck drove a Lincoln Continental.
Yes, he did. He sure did, Mike. Give your location, the kind of car you're driving in, who you'd like to come by. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is. She's marvelous. It's Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, I'm 43 years old. I'm 5'4", blonde hair, blue eyes, pretty successful. I have a real estate license in the state of Virginia, although I haven't had too much time to practice it.
Not going to attract you any guys if you have a real estate license.
That's right. That's right. Nobody's going to, unless you're looking for those gold diggers out there.
Anyway, I just love to go out and have a good time. I'd like to meet somebody that possibly could lead into a short-term, long-term relationship.
Excellent.
And I'm located once again at Bailey's Crossroads Shopping Center right near the Wachovia Bank across the street from Radley Acura in a light blue Lincoln Continental.
I just want to say I'm glad we got a 35-year-old woman and a 43-year-old woman.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
This is very good.
Yeah. How would you feel about a one-nighter with some guy?
Oh, well, what the heck. My daughter's not listening.
Okay. Bravo, Sharon.
There's your 60 seconds. Sharon needs you to hold the line and get back to us on your progress. Hold on.
I hope somebody gets over to her Lincoln real quick.
Before... Before we meet our next girls, let's go back to Kim.
Yeah, Kim, who was in Alexandria.
Remember Kim and the black Mercedes. Kim?
Oh, Kim and the black Mercedes is sitting right here with a hottie.
Oh, oh wow, Patern already.
You found yourself a guy already?
I certainly did.
Cool. Oh, listen to this.
Wow, she sounds pretty happy about it.
Wow.
Are you going to pull him into your web?
He's already sitting in my car.
Oh, bad, bad.
Oh, you bad girl.
You want to talk to him?
You bad girl, yeah. Put him on.
Hang on.
Put him on.
Hello?
Hey, stud, what is your name?
My name is Nick.
And where are you from?
I'm from Alexandria. And all I got to say is she looks like Terry Garr's daughter.
Wow.
Oh, really? Look at that.
So she's pretty hot, huh?
She makes me horny.
Wow. How old are you, sir?
I'm 31.
31, perfect match.
That's not bad. So you like the looks of her?
Oh, yeah, that's not all I like.
Oh, my.
You know what I'm talking about.
Boy, she got...
Her
legs,
she's tan as hell.
All right.
Tan as hell?
So she's a super hottie?
Given.
Oh, man, and she likes you, too.
Oh, yeah, we're in love. That's a man's made in heaven.
That's beautiful. Put her back on the line.
Okay, hook up.
Put her back on.
Hook up.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, Kim.
Yeah.
You and your boy have won lunch for two. With WWF Superstars at the flight deck.
Okay.
And we're going to give you the tickets to see WWF Live at the MCI Center Friday, August 6th, when all this happens.
Great!
So you'll be able to meet Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and many other those big dumb wrestlers.
Oh, great.
Have a great time.
Okay.
Hold the line, please, Kim.
Great, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well, that was no fuss, no muss. Immediate for Kim and Mick.
That was fast.
That was terrific.
That was fast. You think Sharon's had as much luck?
I don't know. I don't know, man. But, you know, if she was, I don't know.
A Shirley Jones look-alike in the blue Lincoln Continental.
That's right.
Hey, Sharon?
Yeah?
Have you had any nibbles?
I've had a couple of people drive by and honk their horn, and one guy stopped. He looked to be a little bit on the young side, and
Little young, and your cutoff age is pretty much the big 3-0, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. You sure you don't want to go down to 25?
All right, what the heck?
Attaway! Way to go, Sharon!
That, right?
You know what that's like? That's when you have an item that's not selling. You reduce the price of your item.
Absolutely.
Exactly what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sharon, we'll get back to you. That's Sharon.
Okay.
She's at the Bailey's Crossroads Shopping Center. She's right across the street from Radley Acura.
Good.
And she's in a light blue Lincoln Continental. Let's get one more girl in play.
Okay, we've already had a successful love connection.
Before we have to do a break. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Shelly.
Shelly, baby.
Hello, hey, baby.
Shelly, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And, you know, I hate to admit it, but I am a wrestling fan.
All right. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you, Shelly, and who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I'm 33, and, you know, I've been trying to think of who the celebrity I resemble is, and I don't know. I wasn't planning to call you guys today.
Are you a pig?
No. I'm beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Okay. you know, usually with women more than guys, at some point somebody will say, you know, you look a little like, do you remember any of those?
I don't know. I wish I would have thought of that. You know, I should have planned that in case I ever did call y'all.
Well, then we have to ask the many, many, many questions to find out who you look like. How tall are you?
I am about 5'7".
5'7".
5'7". How much you weigh?
Oh, you know, girls hate that question.
Well, see, if you came up with a celebrity, we wouldn't have these painful personal questions.
Can I whisper it?
You know, I'll be honest with you. Shelly, it takes all kinds.
I guess I wouldn't.
There's a man out there for you. Don't worry.
Yeah, you can whisper it. How much?
I'm a little more than 150. Don't make me tell you exactly.
All right. That's okay.
Yes, I'm voluptuous.
You're voluptuous. Oh, are you?
Yes, I am.
All right. And in the face, anybody, Shelly, you know, that really helps.
I don't know. I've got kind of, well, I usually have pale skin, but I'm tan, and I got reddish brown hair.
Okay.
But I don't know.
All right. Well, Jodie Foster, maybe?
I'm sorry?
Jodie Foster, maybe?
No, it's more brown than red.
Christy Spacek?
No, you're so skinny.
Wait,
sounds to me, you might look like a white Star Jones. You know that lady on The View? Are you as big as her?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Uh-huh. You ever watch that show for women called The View?
No, is that like on Lifetime or something?
I watch it all
the time. I don't watch the channel.
It's dreamy. It was dreamy. Fantastic. They had Sherry O'Terry on today.
Okay. Listen, Shelly, whatever. Okay?
Okay.
We'll go with you.
Okay.
Now, a guy, pretty much you're just looking for two arms, two legs?
Yeah, somebody who's fun to be with and, you know, not anybody who's real, real thin either.
Oh, really? You're looking
somebody I can hold on to.
You're looking for a fat guy.
Well,
a guy is
not
fat.
Exactly.
No, sure, a guy that's fat. We're gonna say a guy that's fat.
Yeah,
and
right.
What's your favorite hobby?
I like a wrestler.
All right, Shelly, what's your number one fat? What's your number one fat guy? What's your number one hobby?
Eating.
No, my number one hobby is playing my harmonica.
Oh, oh, that's hey.
Would you do you have your harmonica handy?
Actually, no, I don't. I wish I did.
That's a shocker.
You don't have a piece of wax paper and a comb, do you? You ever do that when you were a kid?
I don't want to get paper cuts on my lips.
An impromptu kazoo.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Shelly, let's see. You're in Arlington, Virginia right now. What's your exact location, Shelly?
I am at the corner of Washington Boulevard and Kirkwood Road, which is between Clarendon and Glebe Road.
And what kind of car are you in, Shelly?
It's a little white Honda with ski racks.
All right, we're going to give you 60 seconds. Shelly, what we want you to do is sell yourself.
Okay, I better.
Pound that location, baby. Are
okay.
you ready? Okay.
Okay.
Attack this like it was an extra value meal. Here is Shelly.
Hello, I'm Shelly. I'm 33 years old. I am an association executive. I work in Arlington. I'm looking for somebody who's not a huge wrestling fan, but who likes it enough to know who Steve Austin and X-Pac and some of those really cool guys are. And if you are interested in going out with me, show up at the corner of Kirkwood and Washington Boulevard.
Okay, good. You've got 35 more seconds.
Talk about your harmonica playing.
Okay, well, yes, I play harmonica. I play sometimes at karaoke if I drink enough. I also like to snow ski, and I have a twin sister.
Ah, twin.
Yeah.
And now you've still got 15 seconds to sell yourself.
Ah, twin.
I'm a lot of fun, and I really would like to go see this, so somebody, come on, stop out here. Okay, I think I'm finished.
No, you still have 10 seconds. Give that location one more time, Shelly.
Okay, the corner of Washington Boulevard and Kirkwood Road in Arlington, Virginia. That is between the Clarendon Metro Station and Glebe Road, right on Washington.
There you
Beautiful.
Go.
Nice
way to go,
Shelly. Nice job. Hold on, Shelly.
Hold on.
Now, guys, Shelly's in play.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon is in play.
Kim is out of play. She was successful with her love connection with Mick.
And here is Ken. Now, why is that guy calling? Hello, Ken?
Hey, 100% chance that first couple was a setup.
I think you might be right. I hate
there
to say
no
that.
There is no way you could get to that exit.
I wasn't going to say anything unless somebody called in, but it just seemed too
Why?
Convenient. They were too hot for one another. It was
You can't get to that exit that quick. And the way they were, all over each other like that,
yeah.
Come on.
All right, hold on. I'll
okay.
call her.
That's
hold
it's worthy of an inquisition.
All right, hold on a second. All right, thank you. Hold on.
Worthy of an inquisition. Good point. Just, the whole thing. Hey, we're ready to wrestle right now, the whole nine yards, and we'll ask for total honesty.
Really? I guess I'm a big sucker. I just thought it worked out nicely.
Just rather tidy, but I wasn't going to say anything unless we got a call about it.
We did.
Of course we did. We always
do. We get a call about everything on this show.
We do.
We give away a prize to caller 100, and somebody calls up and says they didn't think it was really the 100th caller.
People are calling about Shelly right now, telling us she's lying about being fat.
Hello? I don't think that's a lie. Hello? Don and Mike show.
Yeah?
Hello there.
Hello?
Hi, what do you want? You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm single. I want to win some tickets.
How old are you?
You're a little kid.
No, I'm not a little kid, okay? I'm 19 years old. That's a little girl.
No, you're a little kid.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I was born in 1980.
Oh, please.
You're a kid.
Absolutely not. Let's check with Sharon.
Sharon, who is at Bailey's Crossroads Shopping Center across from Radley Acura.
We'll get this Kim girl back on the phone at some point. The line is busy. Hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Did you have any luck, baby?
I have a 25-year-old Brandon standing here with me.
Oh!
Sharon, way to go, baby!
Yeah!
All right, I'm happy for you.
That is a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. That is great.
So you like him, Sharon?
Yeah, he seems to be okay.
Cool.
Is he cute?
Yeah, he's not bad at all.
Well, there's a little question mark in your voice there, Sharon. What do you really think?
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine.
Absolutely.
He's fine. One guy doesn't like hearing that. He's fine.
He's fine.
Okay, would you put him on, please?
Sure, hold on.
Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hi
there.
What's going on?
She thinks you're just fine.
Sounds good to me.
And you think she's just fine?
Oh, yeah.
And what is your name, sir?
Brandon.
And Brandon, where are you from?
Alexandria.
How old are you, Brandon?
25.
You ever been out with a 43-year-old woman before?
Almost.
Almost. So, you like the looks of Sharon?
Sure.
Think you guys could have a good time?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She might be up for a one-nighter.
Maybe. Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right.
I got a thing for Mrs. Partridge,
Hey, this is it. You know, fantastic.
He's got a thing for Mrs. Partridge.
Mm-hmm. Wow, all right. Go. Put her on the line, please.
All right, guys. Hold on.
Yep, that's another happy ending.
Hello?
Oh, man, I'm happy for you, Sharon.
Okay. Sharon, you and your boy have won lunch for two with the WWF Superstars at the Flight Deck in Herndon.
Okay.
And we're going to give you the tickets to see WWF same night at MCI Center Friday, August 6th, with Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and all those other big doofuses.
Okay.
So thank you, and hold on, please, Sharon.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Hold on, you're very welcome.
That's great.
Is this Shelly?
Hi.
Shelly?
Hello.
Is this...
I have two guys here.
Oh, my God.
All right, wow. Shelly, way to go.
One of them's a little on the young side, and the other's kind of a cutie.
A cutie.
He's a cutie.
Way to go, Shelly.
Why don't you throw back the one you don't want...
throw him back.
And keep the one you do want.
Okay. Well, do you want to talk to either of them? Which one do you want to talk to first?
Listen, I tell you what. It'll probably be good for your morale just to tell the one that you don't want to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
I bet, you know, you probably don't have that opportunity a whole lot of times.
Absolutely. Shelly, take this opportunity to reject like you may have been rejected.
So I have to be all serious and stuff?
No, you can do it any way you see fit.
Okay. What was your name, Mike? Mike, you're just too young for me. Get lost!
Get lost!
There you go. All right, and who's the other guy?
His name is Chris Bellardine. He just gave me his Bellardine. Well, whatever.
Chris Jellybean?
It's Chris Bellardine.
And you like that guy, huh?
Yeah, he's kind of built like a wrestler.
All right.
Well, put him online, please. Let us talk
to him. Here he is.
All right, another happy ending.
Don and Mike, what's up?
I'm just telling Mike, I thought that this would be the one that we wouldn't have a happy ending on.
But Chris, how do you like Shelly?
She's pretty cool.
All right.
Pretty cool. She cute?
I think so.
Oh, that's all that counts, buddy.
Beautiful. You like the wrestling?
I do, and I realize it's all fake, but I like to watch it. What can I say, guys?
Cool, that's great.
Good. Well, enjoy yourself. You and Shelly have a good time. Put her on the line, please.
Hang on, let me grab her.
Okay.
She's talking to the youngin.
The youngin.
I'm trying to let the youngin down easy.
Shelly,
yeah.
You and your young boy have won the lunch with WWF Superstars at the Flight Deck in Herndon. And
all right.
Same night, we're giving you tickets to go see WWF Live at the MCI Center. This is Friday.
That's great.
August 6th with Stone Cold, Steve Austin, right. The Undertaker, and all those other guys. Thank you, Shelly.
Thank you.
All right. Another happy ending.
That is fantastic.
That's an upset. That's the Mets winning the World Series right there.
3-for-3. Man, I mean, it's working beautifully.
Who is this? Maria.
Oh,
yeah?
Hi.
Hi, Maria.
How are you?
Hi, Maria. How old are you, and who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
People say I kind of look like Winona Ryder.
Winona.
Winona.
All right.
And how old are you, Maria?
20.
Just 20.
Yes.
Ah, relative newbie.
Are you a smoker, Maria?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
Maria.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself, please.
I'm 20. I work in an architect's firm. Like to hang out, chill, have a good time, party.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you at right now, Maria?
I'm in downtown Bethesda by the Sunco on Wisconsin Avenue.
Any tattoos, Maria?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Where are they?
I have one on my back.
On your back? Is it a big one?
It's a big one on my lower back.
Wow. Okay, Kreskin.
Wow. Good.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, you got to play the hunches sometimes.
So, Maria, you're on Wisconsin Avenue.
Yes.
At the Sunoco station.
Yes.
Okay. What we're going to do is give you 60 seconds.
Okay.
To sell yourself, sell your location.
What do you mean by sell myself? Just say where I'm at?
Yeah, you know, say where you're at. You talk about your likes, your dislikes, what you're looking for in a man.
What you would say to bring the men over. Do you have any body piercings?
I have a belly button piercing.
Ah, that's always nice.
Gotcha.
Excellent.
Gotcha. When are you getting your tongue done?
Hopefully it's Labor Day weekend.
You both got the ESP working.
Yeah. I got a good mental path. I'm thinking about getting my car right now and driving over and seeing Maria.
Really? Come over.
Maria,
yeah.
We'll give you 60 seconds. Oh, what kind of car are you in? That's very important.
240SX Nissan, black one.
Oh, and a black 240SX.
A 240SX.
Okay, here is Maria. I guess it's a 240SX.
Right.
Not a 240SX.
That is correct. You know, hey, whatever. You know.
Well, she's a girl, Mike.
Sure, it's girls don't know names of cars.
Are you making fun of me?
No, not at all.
Not at all,
Maria.
And your 240SX. We will give you 60 seconds to sell yourself and sell your location. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Lil Maria. Isn't she marvelous? Go ahead, Maria.
Hi, my name is Maria. I'm 20. I love to have fun.
Good job so far, Maria. Keep up the tempo.
I like to smoke, drink a lot, just have a great time.
Yeah.
No party. Go skinny dipping.
Oh, oh boy.
All right. Hey, give that location and what kind
I'm
of car you're in.
Sunco Station by Bethesda on Wisconsin Avenue.
You mean it's Sunoco?
Sunoco, I'm sorry.
That's right. Sunco in your Sunco. 240 car. Go ahead, Maria. You still got some time left.
I love wrestling. I like to get freaky. I don't know.
She likes to get free. I think she sold herself beautifully.
Yeah. As soon as she said skinny dipping and she likes to smoke and drink, you're going to have a guy there. All right.
Maria, hold on, please. And we never found out what kind of man Maria is looking for.
Oh, she's not picky.
I like tall guys.
There you go, tall.
Tall guys.
Fantastic.
Okay, hold on, Maria.
Sure.
Hold on a second. That's the last girl in play today, Maria.
Where did she go, Maria?
She's on Wisconsin Avenue at the Sunoco Station. She's in a black 240SX.
That's right, at the Sunco.
Now, while we wait for her to meet her tall guy.
Yeah, we just had a little question about Kim and Mick. We thought it was a little quick and it was a little enthusiastic, more than normal, so there are some question marks there. It's going to ease our minds here.
Let's say for the record, I had no question.
Hello?
I believe everything. Hello, hey Kim, it's Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, we're on the air. Listen.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
She answered.
Sorry.
Hey, were you lying to us, Kim?
Okay, well,
call her back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a legitimate cell drop. It's not like she was going,
what? No, I'm lying.
Okay. See if we get a better connection with Kim here.
Don't you agree? Just the fact that she picked up the phone
it speaks volumes.
That's good.
If she goes into hiding, then we know we have trouble. And sometimes people do this just because they like the wrestling, and they say, "Hey, honey, boyfriend and girlfriend," and those are usually the easiest to ferret out because they are busted by people that know them.
You have reached Cellular One.
All right.
The cellular phone you are trying to reach is either turned off.
I give her a moment to get into the good cell.
Absolutely.
Let me see who's on this.
That's right.
In Bethesda, California.
Yeah, I screwed up. That's right. I should have mentioned that, too.
Bethesda, California.
Okay, we're trying to call Kim now.
Okay,
there you go.
All right, Kim.
I was not lying.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, wait.
I didn't think so. Someone else in this room thought so.
Yeah, I thought there might be a question. It was just too tidy. You can say on good authority that you have never, ever dated or met this guy, Mick. He is a total stranger to you.
Mick? No way. No, he's cute.
All right.
And we're not going to be called, down the road by a coworker or somebody says, or somebody that lives where you live that's going to say, hey, they've known each other, they're dating, I know these two.
No, sir. Mick just pulled up next to me, and he was cool. He's way cool.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right, we'll accept that for now.
Thank you, Kim.
I'd like to talk to that person who thought I was lying, actually.
Well, hi, how are you?
You're talking to him. His name is Mike O'Mara.
How you doing? I wasn't going to say anything unless we got a call about it. And when somebody called, it just sounded like you guys were too enthusiastic and it happened too fast. But if you say that, I believed it, and it sounds like you guys are hot for each other.
Mike just refuses to believe in love I do.
Don is the incurable romantic. I am the caustic cynic.
I love love.
We both just screamed fun.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Oh, this means tomorrow I'm going to get another lecture. Mike, why can't you love love as much as I do?
We meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.